This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Just had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
You mean your sandwich? I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right, it's like we just got off the radio on Sunday, but here we are again. The gang is here to talk about the aftermath, or as they say, the after draft of the 2008 Patriots
I've
draft.
I've never heard that before.
Seven new Patriots are now in the fold, and some of them will be here later this week. Rookie minicamp commences, you know, Thursday or Friday. Yeah, I would imagine at least a few of them will be here, right?
I would hope all of them would be here.
Yeah. Rookie minicamp? Many of them
well, by Friday they'll be here, but earlier, I think number one will be here.
Some of them will be here later in the week.
We really are lenient now. It's a rookie mini camp. If you can make it, make it. Brady doesn't work out. Why should you?
Jerod Mayo will be here early to have his photo taken.
A special pick.
Special pick. And today, happenings going on at Gillette Stadium. The Kraft Group and Showcase Entertainment announced Showcase Live, which is a new live entertainment venue here, 500 to 1,000 person venue, intimate, high tech audio. So, big announcement today.
So, who's going to play that type of a place?
They already have the lineup through this year. Peter Frampton will be here, Average White Band.
I just found out Peter Frampton was still alive when I saw that Geico commercial.
Yeah. Who else
no
is
offense.
Coming? Dave Brubeck,
who?
Al Green,
jazz legend.
Who?
You don't know Dave Brubeck?
I don't.
He's excellent.
I don't know.
Chaka Khan.
What's his name?
Chaka Khan will
Dave.
Be here.
Oh.
Chaka Khan, let me tell you what I want to do.
Big fan of Chaka Khan.
So I
won't
they,
be at any of those.
They had about 12. I might go to Peter Frampton. I might go to Dave
Vegas,
Brubeck.
Tom, so don't
I like
yeah.
Peter Frampton.
Yeah. That Peter Frampton, was it, comes alive?
So I think they had about 12 acts already booked through December of 08.
Okay, I'm excited.
So I guess it's going to be a really good place to watch live music. Very comfortable.
Intimate.
Every place, will, you know, every seat will be a good seat.
They have rain dates in case the place doesn't open on time?
Rain dates in case the place doesn't open on time. Why, you think that there are going to be problems?
No, I'm just saying.
So you're just trying to be negative like Andy?
That negativity, that is uncalled for.
Wow.
Wait a minute, I have a question for you. Who was here with Mr. Kraft announcing it?
What do you mean?
Who was at the press conference with Mr. Kraft announcing it?
Sherry Redstone.
That's Sumner's daughter?
Yep.
And isn't he pretty tight with Sumner?
Yeah. He's on the board of directors for Viacom.
And isn't she feuding with him?
I got to step, you know in. I gotta step in here for
matter.
A second, Fred.
Yeah.
It's the draft, and you guys are talking about this ridiculous crap.
I just want to fill people in.
Great. Nobody cares.
I just want to fill people in on what's going on at Gillette Stadium
today. If that goes out of business, so do we.
You know, there's a lot of things going on at Gillette Stadium.
Now you got Andy asking useless questions.
All right, but we do want to talk to the draft. It's been a couple days since they finished up here. Guys, have your opinions, you know, formulated to the point now where they've changed? Are they the same as they were Sunday? How do you feel about this year's crop?
I feel a little better than I did last year at this time, but not a whole lot better.
A little?
That's not
I feel
much.
A lot better than last year. And I don't feel better than I did
overall
over the weekend. I have my concerns about this Terrence Wheatley. I've been working on his bio for the paper, and the fact that he has a fused wrist and carries a handicap card kind of bothers me.
I mean,
my arm! It's broken!
when I assumed he was going to have a chance to be the team's lead kick returner, and I know he's productive in that role, but Isn't it kind of hard to catch kickoffs with two good hands and wrists?
So you don't think that the Patriots did their due diligence medical-wise?
No, I'm sure they did.
So then why are you worried?
Because we can have opinions on
the picks. It's a second-round pick. And the guy who I thought was perfect that they drafted in the second round, Chad Jackson, fast, had both hands that worked, all that,
right.
Didn't carry a handicap card,
right.
Busted out.
I know, but you know, there's a lot of second-round picks that actually did work out.
He's got a one-foot steel plate in his arm.
But do you really think that the Patriots would waste a second-round pick in a guy that
they've wasted
questioned
Chad
medically?
Jackson. They've wasted a lot of
second-round
picks.
I can see you coming in saying, I don't think the guy can play because he really wasn't that good in college. But on the wrist specifically, I think they did their homework.
But, oh my
but wait
God.
A minute, you're not, sure they you're did. Not listening. You're not listening to what Andy is saying. He's trying to say not that the Patriots don't know what they're doing or anything like that. He has concerns about the plate in his wrist.
Well,
that's all. And
just, the Patriots don't.
Maybe they
I
do.
Don't know.
Maybe
they thought he was a top 10 pick, and they got a steal in the second round because he has a plate in his
right,
wrist.
Right. I'm sure that's what part of the reasoning why he got drafted higher than he was supposed to, according to the experts, was because they said this guy has second-round ability, but the wrist problem is putting him down in the fourth or fifth-round area. So they thought it was worth the risk, obviously. But that doesn't mean that there's
you
nothing to be concerned
it.
About.
I, as far as the risk goes, there's nothing to be concerned
okay.
about.
7 minutes. We've.
And by the way, he's already broken
middle, and
the plate in that arm once and had to have a different plate.
It's all right.
Hey,
right. They put a titanium
back
one
to
in.
You,
won't break this.
I'm
oh, that's the one that broke.
They had to put a stainless steel one in that didn't break.
Back to your rookie minicamp
well,
stuff.
What are we going
to
talk about if there's nothing?
Well, that's
that
why
can't.
I'm going to.
I mean, Matt Slater never played in college, but that's not
well,
to worry.
You
want
to
talk
about
that?
I, you know, the first four picks, I'm completely on board with. The last three, I thought were throwaway.
I think that's ridiculous. You should be on board with them. That's what we do here.
Why would you think that they would throw away a pick?
Because I don't think they cared at that point. They think everyone was the same, and they, you know, let's
I just
do
think
a
it's funny how they stopped caring in rounds. They used
the
to
middle.
Draft Dan Copen.
Let's do a favor.
They used to draft Dan Copen.
Yeah, because at that time, the team wasn't as deep as it is now.
All right.
It's tough to make this team.
But why trade?
I would say the fourth round pick was a waste because that guy
now,
sucks.
Now, do I know why they moved up to draft Matt Slater? No, I don't. It puzzled me then. It puzzles me now. The only thing I can think of is doing a favor for his dad. That's it. Really?
Can't you sign him as a rookie free agent if you want
well,
to do him a
favor?
Well,
it's a little bit better status-wise to be drafted. In
Can
the
you
NFL.
Wait till the seventh round then?
Maybe you could.
Why do you need to trade up? And
I said I was puzzled. I don't know the answer.
Well, not even talking about that. Do we know, and I wanted to get back to your rookie minicamp thing, and we were laughing about who's going to be here. Do we know of any of the draft picks that can't be here?
Usually that's just Ohio State guys, right?
It's not just Ohio State. It's anybody who has the graduating class. Do we know... We don't. In other words, no. We don't know of anybody that won't be here.
Yeah, last year, someone wasn't here the first day.
It almost always happens.
The guy
somebody.
Andy's boy.
Yeah.
The running back from Rice.
Q.
Wasn't
Q.
here the first day because he was graduating.
Generally, and it's not just the draft guys, but that's an example, Tom, of an undrafted free agent. Usually one of this class won't be here because of that graduating class issue that seems to crop up every year.
Right.
That's why I just was wondering if we had heard.
No.
Maybe if Mike had posted something about that. I know Mike Reese sometimes gets
that. Well, Mike Reese posted some of the undrafted free agents that the Patriots signed, right, supposedly.
Yeah.
We have that list.
Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
We don't care. We're not interested.
It's not official.
I don't know.
It's all rumor and speculation.
It's not that I don't care. I do care. I just don't. I don't have the information.
I mean, there wasn't any huge names on it, like you know, your Allie Highsmith type names.
Did anyone sign him?
Yeah, Arizona.
Arizona signed him.
The punter they're bringing in on a tryout. We talked about maybe they would bring in. They still are bringing in another punter. So the player issue didn't affect that. He could probably beat out Scott Player, who could get cut without ever having touched a ball 2 foot.
But you mentioned Wheatley because of the wrist. I like the guy because of what we've read about his intelligence, his knowledge of the cornerback position, the fact that he doesn't make mistakes back there. I think he's the perfect guy for this system.
I'm on board with all of that. I still just think when a guy, most football players who are really good have two wrists that work, and I just think that he's automatically jamming guys. Who knows if that ever becomes an issue? I don't know how much he was asked to do that at Colorado, but if he's asked to do that and it's an issue – you now have two corners with bad wrists. Ellis Hobbs, we saw him battle through a bad wrist. So I just don't totally dismiss it.
I hear he can pick up the offensive signals through the wrist.
Maybe that's why they drafted him.
He just puts his wrist up to his helmet, and he knows what the plays are going to be.
Fred, that would make more sense than drafting that Matthew Slater in the fifth round.
Yeah, I like the Mayo pick. I didn't think Wheatley would go that high, but I can live with the pick if they like, if that's their kind of corner. I like the O'Connell pick because I don't think that there's a lot of holes to fill on this team, and I thought backup quarterback was one of them. So if they think this guy's good, I like it. After that, they lost me.
You don't like Crable.
Oh, and the Crable pick is fine.
Okay.
With me.
So top four.
Those are fine.
Yep.
Then the Will Height pick, I mean, everyone you talk to says this guy got beat like a freaking rug. I mean, just all anybody, and I've seen it. So that one I didn't get, and the Slater pick, I think maybe the most mind-boggling pick in the history of Patriots franchise, not because they picked him, but because they traded up to get him, which nobody can quite understand.
It was a fifth-round pick, so it wasn't a not one of those things that 3 years from now you're going to say, wow, that Slater pick really set him back. But I did hear Bill talk yesterday on on WEEI for a little bit, and he talked about how they thought there was kind of a run on that kind of player. Bill said, we got a little antsy there because
I never said that.
We thought there was that's where some of those athletic, fast, special teams type players were going. And I was looking at, the area, and there were a lot of guys that played other positions. They were basically cornerbacks that had special teams ability that were going in that area. So, I thought Will Height would be kind of, a lot of people aren't sure if he's going to be a good cornerback at the NFL level, but people think that he could be a good special teams guy, kind of like Willie Anderson.
Did the kid from UConn go in that area?
Tavon Branch?
He went in the second round to the Raiders.
Yeah. Wow. The other thing that puzzled me was that they obviously wanted to get cornerbacks, but they had when they picked their cornerbacks, there were other players available who we thought they might have interest in who were bigger. 6'1", 200 size, and they went for the smaller 5'9", 5'10", 5'8", maybe even.
Giving up on that. And they want little corners.
Yeah, and that's what I don't understand.
He won't say that, but I think that he does.
But I was trying to ask him why, what the mentality was behind that, and obviously he wouldn't answer me.
It didn't pan out.
Didn't work out the way I'd hoped. But, I mean,
you had hopes?
Well, you never know. You have to try to. You have to ask, and you never know when he's going
to
answer.
You're right, Eric. Well, you are right.
But if
right, yeah, you do. You have to ask.
If you wanted to ask him what he thought of Lloyd Carr, he'd be more than happy
well,
to tell you.
Probably,
the best thing that could have ever happened to us is Lloyd Carr finally retired, so now the gloves are off with Bill. He'll just give him a butt-whooping of monumental proportions.
And you know what it's like? It's like the Bills thing with Marv Levy and Ted Marchabrota, where he likes Ted Marchabrota and what he did for the Bills, hated Marv Levy. He likes Ron English and what he did for those defensive players, and clearly hates Lloyd Carr.
But the thing is, Bill usually doesn't – he has a reason to hate – like, he usually hates for a reason. I wonder what the Lloyd Carr
thing is. I'll bet you Brady helped out on that and gave him some inside scoop on what was going
on. You know
what,
his Fred, boy. I think you're right. I think it might be, it could be as little as that. And I don't think it takes, to disagree a little with Tom, I don't think it takes a lot for him to hate. I don't think he needs a reason.
But I mean, it usually happens to him personally, right?
Like but he perceives it as a slight, and whether it was real or not, I think he kind of, you're either with us or against. He's one of those inner circle guys. The Parcells guys, the Maurice Carthons every year, he always surrounds himself with his guy. Bill's got a very small inner circle, and everybody else he kind of has no use for, and certainly I would agree with Lloyd Carr is one of those guys that he has no use for.
Yep. All right, so what about Bo Root? Another throwaway pick.
He's really going to be a great coach. I don't know anything about him, to be honest with you.
He's going to be a coach, Freddie.
Well, I'm working on that profile, Freddie, and just, he's one of those guys that – I talked to his coach yesterday, his defensive coordinator, Kevin Cosgrove. You just can't find anybody to say anything bad about this guy. The ultimate football player. He's got good size, good speed. Not huge.
What is
but
he, 6'3"?
6'3", 240, 235, 240. Good range. Was good in coverage and does a lot of different things well. Played different spots. Has the flexibility, according to Cosgrove. I don't know. He's a sixth-round pick, 197th overall, so I'm not going to raise an eyebrow if he gets cut immediately. But, I mean, you can't ignore his brother is in the NFL, his father played in the NFL, his two uncles also played for Nebraska, and his great-grandfather played for Nebraska. I mean, it's a long-storied football tradition in the family, and
what that tells me, he's been watered down over the years,
well,
and he's the leftover midshot.
You know what? And one of the I think it was NFL draft scouts, said that based on the fact that he wasn't invited to the combine would certainly indicate that he's the runt of the litter, which I thought was a little harsh. But
hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I think he's a college
but he's
football
one of those,
player.
I think that he probably would project to be what Andy said. He's just one of those hardworking kids that gets the most out of his ability. But he's a student of the game, loves to study film, loves to sit and watch all that stuff. So
one of those guys
you can't dismiss
out.
A guy like that who comes in and maybe – impresses with his knowledge of the systems and stuff like that. And I don't think this stuff will be all that difficult for him to pick up.
No, so is that bad news for Bubba?
No.
Nah. He's got a spot locked.
He'll be Rude will be on the practice squad. He'll be a Bubba-like practice squad guy. But he'll use his eligibility there, and then he'll go coach college or high school football or who knows.
Okay. So overall, I think it was a pretty good draft. I'd give him a B minus.
I have no idea.
You know,
I think I think the C pluses I've been seeing are fair.
I like the Mayo choice.
That's
I
would say. Just grade the first round pick.
People,
I like it.
Some people have written in some of those grades, and I can understand why they're saying that he wasn't a number 10 guy. No one really had him ranked that highly. I look at it a little bit differently. I look at it as if that's the guy. If you target, we all know that Bill will target a guy, not necessarily a position or whatever. We always say the need and value thing. If you think he's got that kind of athleticism, Mel Kiper sold me on this because he said to Andy, Keith Rivers is this. There's no way there's a difference of, say, number 9 and number 25 between Rivers and Mayo. They're basically the same guy. And Mel Kiper kind of sold me on that. And
apparently Bill agreed.
And Bill agreed. So I don't think it was that far-fetched. I wasn't overly surprised that the Patriots thought he was worthy of that pick.
Plus, after 8 years of saying, when are they going to take a linebacker? I don't want to hear
it.
The value wasn't there.
I
so
love
maybe
the
he was the 14th player and Bill couldn't trade to 14
right.
to take him.
I wanted
you know what? You got a linebacker. I'm happy. I want to see him play.
We did get indications that the Patriots wanted to move down further. We have some rumors that they were talking with Houston to get down to 18 before Houston then moved down. And maybe they thought, you know, Mayo would be there right. then. And if he wasn't, then they'd have the pick of the cornerbacks that
right.
they like.
Yeah. You're probably right, Fred. That's
see,
probably exactly
I wanted
what
a linebacker. I got a linebacker. I won't complain.
I'm sick of hearing that the Patriots reach, that Jacksonville reach, because they gave up three picks to get Harvey. Listen, Jacksonville doesn't need – their team is loaded, okay? If they think they're a Super Bowl contender, and we don't love Harvey, but they do. So let's just put
and
that
that's
out
the
there.
Important part, Tom.
Right.
I think that's an important distinction.
They love
make.
Him. Now, they go up to get Harvey. They give up three picks, so if they give up three special teams players, big deal. And then they say, well, it's a reach. Well, reports are the Bengals were going to take him with the next pick, first of all. So is it a reach that the next team was going to take him? And like you said, what was Mayo going to go, 15? So they picked him five picks too high? That doesn't make any sense. To me, a reach is Chris Johnson, who went a round too early to Tennessee. That's a reach.
Matt Slater.
Yeah. No, but Chris Johnson's a good – but I think that the distinction you made, Tom, about the fact that Jacksonville – had that high value on the player, just like the Patriots obviously did with Mayo. Right. I think that's important. Now, 3 years from now, when we can accurately judge what these players do as pros, then we'll decide who's right or wrong. But I don't think you can look there and say, oh, they gave up too much for him. They obviously didn't feel right. the same way. They valued the player and did what they could do to get him.
As we said on Saturday and Sunday, a team's need has a direct effect on the value. And, you know,
yeah, Jackson. I mean, if I was a Jags fan, I'm thinking, man, we're real close to the Colts and Patriots, you know, to win the Super Bowl. You get two pass rushers in the draft. Maybe that puts you over the top.
Mm-hmm. That might be the biggest thing that holds Jacksonville back. We saw them play the Patriots last year. There was no comparison, in my opinion, to the way the Jags played the Patriots in the playoffs last year and then the way they did in around Christmas time the year before. I thought there was a much more competitive game last year. And I thought the Patriots were a far better team last year than they were Christmas time in 06. Yep. And one thing they were lacking, and I don't know if Harvey, you know, will be able to do this, and who's the other one?
Groves.
In Groves. I don't know if they'll be able to do it. Well, you know, time will tell, but that was the one thing they were lacking. They had decent cover guys. You know, they really did a good job on Moss that night, but they couldn't, you know, Brian Williams, I think, actually covered Moss that night while Mathis was on the other side. They just couldn't stop. They couldn't get any pressure on Brady. He got comfortable, and they couldn't stop him. Remember, Brady completed, 26 of 28 or whatever it was.
Plus, Tom's right. The two best teams in football are the Patriots-Colts. I think everybody assumes that every
year.
That's
what you're chasing.
You're chasing. And the Giants beat the Patriots with a pass rush, and the Colts have struggled with the Chargers because of pass rush issues. So if you are the Jaguars, you say, you know what, we're 3, 4, or 5. If we can get a pass rush, we can be 1 or 2 in the NFL.
Right, and as Paul was saying, you know, that was a pretty tight game throughout. If they get pressure on Brady 2 or 3 times throughout that on a third down, maybe that game changes, but they weren't even close. So
they couldn't get anywhere near him. I don't think I've seen Brady as comfortable as he was that night all year.
Now, as we all know, it doesn't really matter because the Steelers are the team to beat. Forget about the Colts and Patriots after this draft.
They had a good draft.
We're going to hold you to that. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com.
Remember, he started this crap last year.
I know.
And then when it was time for the two teams to play,
I know.
It was, it was a tough the Patriots that were going to beat them easy.
Right. On the phone is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Hi, guys. Great. You did an awesome job this weekend. I really appreciate it.
I agree.
It.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really fun to listen to.
Thank you, John.
I wanted to ask if I might be being a little too hopeful, but even though it was a surprise pick to take Wheatley, I was sort of impressed. Well, I just thought it was noteworthy that they didn't waste a second getting their pick in. They from what I was seeing, they must love him because they didn't take any time to, you know, listen to trade offers or anything.
John, I'm as sure about Wheatley's contribution to this team over time as I was when they got Welker. Let's put it that
really?
Way. Yep.
I'm not even that sure.
I'm not saying he's going to.
Neither is Bill.
And hopefully there's anyone else.
Champ Bailey to play next to him like Welker has Moss.
Look, whatever you want to say, you can make fun of it all you want, but this guy is going to be an important part of this team this year.
A second round pick?
He absolutely should be. That's where they valued him.
And should,
but they
so
clearly wanted him. They worked
and,
him out there. They brought him here. They showed a lot of interest.
They did show a lot of interest.
It wasn't one of those smokescreen ones. This was one of those where they clearly had a lot of interest, probably were making sure that everything was what they thought it was and the wrist was okay. And he talked about it at the combine. He said he was x-rayed 50-something times at the combine because, obviously, not just the Patriots, but every team,
sure.
like me, would be worried that the guy has a one-foot
rod. I hope
rod
that's not
hand.
Bad for you to be x-rayed that many times.
So what, there won't be a next generation of Wheatleys.
What is it that you've heard or seen?
Sounds like the hand's going to fall off.
What's that, Eric?
What is it that you've heard or seen that makes you this confident about this pick?
Everything I've heard. Everything. Everything. I like I said in the beginning.
The handicapped car, the one-foot rod.
I think his knowledge of the game, in particular his knowledge of the position. This isn't a guy who, like, played running back in high school and then switched to wide receiver. This guy's played cornerback his whole football career.
You keep saying that.
He has said that since Sunday.
Did Dominique Rogers-Cromartie play quarterback? I don't get
a lot of guys play a lot. He has complete knowledge. His X's and O's, you know, his blackboard knowledge is amazing. He understands schemes very quickly. I think he's perfect for this team. You know, he may not start this year, but
he'll be a nickelback.
He'll be a nickelback right off the bench. And the big weakness this team had is when other teams
spread him out.
Spread him out.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap.
I agree with everything you said, but my concern has nothing to do with any of that. My concern has to do with the first time he goes to jam a receiver, all of a sudden he's limited.
Right.
That's what I'm worried about.
Well, I think with this, you give him a forearm shiver with that steel in there, and it's all over.
My concern
Cowboy
is
Bob Orton.
My concern is that the trend is for teams to get bigger, more physical corners, and we seem to be getting
smaller,
less
that's
physical.
Crap. Crap.
No, but the point is this.
I'm not buying that.
Fred, the point is this.
Bill shot you down, so Fred's not buying
it. We had received word that the two top corners on their board were the tallest corners available. So it's not necessarily that they're looking for – I mean, I think maybe at that point they took the – but if they had traded down, like you had said, and Mayo was gone, I believe one of the corners they would have drafted would have been a taller guy.
Would have been Cromartie or – but they happen to be also pretty good.
Right. I'm not – no, I'm defending
you. Know, they
you.
Can play.
The guy doesn't even know when you're
obviously,
defending
you want the biggest, best guy you can get. It's same thing with receiver. You'd rather have a 6'3 guy who can play than a 5'9 guy who can play. But
no.
They have
but
to that, play.
Obviously, but there was that's guys, my point, but there were guys in that same area value-wise.
Right. Terrell Thomas.
The very next pick was
Terrell Thomas. He's 6'1", 200.
But
a guy we all like.
But
he's garbage.
Forget about his size. The Patriots thought Wheatley was a better cornerback, period.
Well, obviously, because they took him. But I'm saying from what we saw, just on the limited resources we had to see him, I would have flat out said Terrell Thomas was the better player. And then later in the round when they took Will Hite, they had a chance to get a player who they worked out.
Well, I don't know about Will Hite. I'm not putting Will Hite into this.
No, but my point is, at the Will Hite pick.
I just figured it out. Obviously, you had concerns about Wheatley. Talk to somebody, and they made you feel better about Wheatley. And you didn't bother doing any research on Will Hite.
Will Hite.
He just took my scouting report. It was good enough for him.
You know, Will Hite, I
could see Fred. What are we doing? What do we take Wheatley for? Calm down.
Corner since middle school.
I'm not excited about Will Hite. I am excited about seeing Slater run around at training camp. I think that might be fun.
It better be.
But, right.
If he
is not
ridiculously athletic,
he's
not the best player on that field
this week, then he's
a terrible pick.
The concern I have about him was the fact that he was quoted in one of those things of
you know, a year or two ago was contemplating not playing football anymore.
I hope he makes it that far.
Yeah, no, and you're right. But I am very excited about these first two picks, about them contributing meaningful reps this year.
I'm surprised. Eric, one thing I was going to say about Slater is I started, that's the guy I'm doing, and I started my research on it. And I know I haven't been here as long as these two, and you guys always say that football has to be number one with these guys. Just from the things I'm reading, I kind of agree with you. I don't know if football is like the end all with him, which is
that
surprising.
That really stuck out to me when you guys were talking about him on Sunday when we were doing the show, and you guys were reading out of all the books. And, you know, he played 1 year, he didn't play this year. He quit the team for a short time. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a guy with no position who's kind of just an athlete. And didn't really love the game. Matt Cassel, was a surprising pick because he had never played. He was seemingly willing to do anything it took to find a way to get on the field. He was covering kickers, he was playing tight end, he was backup quarterback, he was playing special teams. I don't think he ever contemplated quitting the team ever.
Right. And it's not like this is just some kid who grew up and thought, oh, I'll just play football. His dad is a NFL Hall of Famer. I mean, maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe he has had too much saturation.
Not everybody has to want to. I mean, maybe he's got other.
He doesn't.
But
that's fine.
That surprised me that the Patriots would take him.
Exactly.
Because they're so football minded here.
Exactly.
I agree with you, Tom.
He'll be in the Arena League in 2 years.
He sounds like he'd
if he even wants to play football.
That's true. He might not be because you don't make a lot, so if he's not really into it.
Sounds
he
could be the commissioner of that league. He'd be so good.
Did anyone ask Bill
if
he knows Jackie Slater firsthand or has a relationship with him at all? Or
no.
I didn't. I can't remember if anyone
asked. I didn't, but that would have been a good question to ask.
Yeah. Because I got a feeling that this is just a...
He mentioned during
his press
conference...
Does that make any sense to you?
Traded up to just say, hey, Jackie,
he did.
I like you, Jack.
Well, it accomplishes two things. They didn't really have any strong feelings about anyone at that point in the draft. Now you get an extra pick next year.
I still say, what happened to the days when we drafted Brady, Givens,
Cope,
and all these guys on
Tony La Russa's son will never come out, or Bill will make him a top five pick.
With the first overall selection.
The problem is, if you pick Givens this year, he doesn't make the team. So that's the problem. They're a lot better team than they were back then.
What's that now?
I don't understand that theory.
What did you just say?
So you just
guys that in the late rounds that could make the team back then, don't make the team now.
So you think David Givens, if he came out as a seventh rounder right now, wouldn't make the
probably
team?
Wouldn't make the team.
So what's Pierre Woods doing?
I got
doing
a lot
here?
Of money that says he would.
What's Pierre Woods doing here? Apparently Bill loves Pierre Woods.
Or
he
Ray
wasn't
Ventrone,
even drafted.
Or all these guys that have been on the roster.
He happens to be at a position that they did have holes at, which is linebacker.
Well,
Pierre Woods may not.
After two draft picks, they didn't have any more holes?
Pierre Woods may not make the team this year.
Not according to Bill. He's going to start.
Well,
but Fred, Dan Copen.
And Sean Crabble has to follow him around.
He makes it over Russ Hochstein.
Right. He's still a good player.
Dan Copen's a special player.
But that's my point. Copen, if you drafted today.
Well, you got him in the fifth round, so
I know,
maybe
but
you should.
He's better than the guys you have. David Givens is better than your backup wide receivers, just like he was then.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, Fred.
I'm not talking.
They just didn't have a lot of good guys back then.
Somebody else wants to address me, that's fine.
Oh, my God.
Brady made him good.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap.
Brady made him good.
They had. They had David Patton and Troy Brown, who are better than Jabbar Gaffney and Chad Jackson right now. That's your 3 and 4 receivers.
Well, we'll see. We'll
right?
See. We'll see.
So basically,
one of those moves.
Basically you have the franchise's all-time leading receiver.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Did you ever notice how bad Troy Brown got since he got released this year?
No. Did you ever notice how old he got? I mean,
I'm
Paul,
talking
let's
about
face
2002,
it.
Fred, is when he came in. He wasn't old then.
Back then,
104.
Back then, he was great.
Right, and that's who we made the team alongside.
Wait,
so now you're telling me they're better now.
Yeah, he
please.
Didn't make.
They have Moss.
David Givens did not displace Troy Brown.
He made the team despite
alongside
the fact that
him.
Troy Brown was on it, is my point.
Okay. Well, yeah, but.
And I think Andy's example of Dan Copen is perfect.
They happen to have room
had
for
starting,
a guy like Givens.
They had starting
back
caliber
then.
Players right. then, like Damian Woody. And Russ Hochstein and guys like that, he made the team
and
because
today,
he was too good, and he would make the team today
he
as well.
He drafted Dan Copen, he makes this team.
He was too good a player
if,
to just
and
cut.
If Dan Copen was in the draft this year, they would have taken him. But
not according to you, they had their feet up and were saying, we got to go.
Right, because they didn't have guys like that back.
But you say, but your point is Copen wouldn't
like
make the
Jackie
team.
Slater.
He would. Givens would make the team if he was healthy and coming out of college now.
Well, I mean, who would
they were good enough players. That's the only point that we're trying to make, Fred.
Well, if you remember, he was an athlete. They had him at cornerback sometimes.
He played special teams that year.
He was an athlete. He was Mike Wright. He was this guy could play the game of football.
Givens, you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He didn't make it as a number one receiver.
No, he wasn't a polished receiver. He was a bad receiver.
No, absolutely.
In fact,
at Notre Dame, they didn't use him.
Why aren't we drafting more of those guys instead of just you're claiming they gave up on the draft?
You know what? I've been very critical, but maybe Matthew Slater is one of these guys. And maybe that's what they're looking at him as a guy that they can. They see the athleticism and speed. They're going to put him out there and let him run around and do special team stuff. And then maybe 2 years from now,
they're trying
to work him as a wide receiver. Maybe I'll have to
cut back
on the criticism.
I like the Wheatley pick less because I kind of assume Wheatley was going to be your nickel corner and primary
certainly
kick
like
returner.
We'll
hold
three
less.
Speed, right?
Yeah. Now, if Wheatley isn't going to return kicks for you, I think his value goes down.
Yeah. But I think, you know, like Andy says, we've been dying for linebackers, and we got an athletic two really athletic linebackers they drafted.
I'm just hanging my hat on Mayo. You gave me a top 10 linebacker. I won't complain until he misses a few tackles.
Hey, all I was rooting against was the offensive line. Bill didn't take any of those. I got double thumbs up for the draft.
Well, what's interesting is not even in the undrafted free agents that they've signed so far, according to Mike, they don't even have one there. They've got a tight end. But
now,
no,
there's a spot, Fred, that I would buy your theory in. You know, for a seventh-round guy or an undrafted free agent, you're not going to make this team as an offensive lineman unless you are really, really, really good. And what are the chances you're getting an exceptional guy in the seventh round? Because right now they have 8 or 9 guys with starting experience.
Yeah.
You have to do something really special, I think, to make this team as an offensive lineman.
But what about tight end, though?
Well, what about tight end?
I'll get to that in a second, but I just think it's interesting. You know, there was this hue and cry after the Super Bowl of some fans saying, oh, we need to get all these. We need to revamp the line.
Yes.
Not one drafted, not one signed so far.
Well, you know, as I said, this draft proved that we were right in all our between the end of the season and draft analysis.
We took a lot of heat for it by talking about the defense and how, you know, a lot of people said, well, they were the fourth-ranked defense, right. And we said, yeah, we understand that.
Right.
But there are some holes in this defense, and I think Bill's actions this weekend sort of backed up with
younger
with, we've all
now,
been
Paul, he's been saying that since 2001.
I know.
Now, how about a Bill Belichick draft with no offensive lineman? Did you
we
notice
all
that,
liked,
Fred?
We all liked Kellen Davis.
Kellen Davis, yeah, I liked him.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was he not available in round 5?
He certainly was.
I think he got drafted the seventh round, didn't he?
Late. Yeah. So you're telling me
I don't think he's a Patriot.
These other picks they made were throwaway picks because there wasn't anyone else they liked out there. Like Kellen Davis, a 6'6", 260-pound tight end who can block and catch, isn't a guy that you think is valuable?
Well, I don't think they like
him. Wasn't
what he
Kellen
has
Davis projected a lot higher than the 6th round or 7th round when he was drafted?
5th or 6th.
5th or 6th. It was right around that same area. And we all thought when their pick was coming up, this would be a great time. And then they make the trade to get the Slater kid.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm baffled by that part of it.
Yeah. I don't know.
What?
I don't know why they didn't draft a tight end. I think that, you know, even with Ben Watson, I don't pencil in Ben Watson as a 16-game player.
Oh, that's my point.
I mean, I totally agree with
you.
You
know, it's just you can't depend on him.
You can't draft everything.
No, I agree with
it. I'd like to know what the fans think because as a fan, I just think you should have your own opinions and Eric and I did a mock draft where we had Colt Brennan in the 6th round, and there was a ton of people writing, what a waste of a pick. They're not going to take a quarterback. Now, lo and behold, they take one in round 3.
Exactly.
So now it's in Bill we trust. If you didn't want a quarterback, then you didn't want a quarterback. I want to know what fans, especially that pick, I want to know your honest opinions. Do you think that was a good pick? Do you think they should have gone somewhere else?
So who goes if he makes the team, Gutierrez or Castle?
Castle's gone. Really? We all know it. We like him, but we all know it.
They can get something for him.
I think they
can get at least some kind of draft pick for him.
For Castle rather than Gutierrez?
No. Yes. I think whoever thinks that, I think, is absolutely insane.
I just think that they're
just insane. The guy hasn't played any football.
Have you heard of Al Davis? Have you heard of Jerry Jones? There are idiots in this league who run NFL teams, and I think that one of them would be willing to buy a guy like Matt Castle.
I'm an idiot. I don't know anything about it, and I wouldn't give anything up for him.
The reason I think that Castle is the guy
I just don't drool
to go because all the factors seem to point that way. He's in the last year of his contract, so they're going to lose him for nothing anyway. He hasn't played at all. I think that they're a little bit, you know, this might sound strange, but Castle has kind of demonstrated that he can't do it. We don't know. I don't think Gutierrez can either, but they don't know that yet.
Right. That's why I think they might be able to get something.
There's a question mark for Gutierrez. No, Gutierrez has less trade value right now than Castle does.
But I think because
Gutierrez hasn't played at all. At least Castle, someone could say, they could pop the 2005 finale against Miami in, or a couple of preseason games and say, well, he's actually playing with guys that are still in the league, he did this right and this wrong.
My point is, it's worse to be thought you can't play than to go out and play and prove you can. Which is what Castle.
Well, that's why I think that Castle's days are probably numbered.
Was Gutierrez drafted 7th round pick?
No.
Free agent. Free agent.
So the teams that haven't yet been proved that he can't play could have had him if they wanted.
I think at some point it's
Gutierrez
to his
has no value at all. Now this year coming in, if he plays some in the preseason, which I would imagine is going to be a big preseason for him. Big offseason in general.
Are we talking about Castle or Gutierrez?
Gutierrez. I think that he needs to show that he can he can be a backup, and I think he's fighting right now with O'Connell for that, because I think they didn't draft this guy in the 3rd round if they weren't pretty sure that he could be at least a backup. Now, I don't know if he'll be the backup this year, but that's what they envision.
I wouldn't be surprised if they get rid of both Gutierrez and Castle, bring in a veteran.
You know what? That could
for
be
for O'Connell.
I was also going to say the other reason Castle doesn't have nearly any value is because a lot of teams are going to 2 quarterbacks now. You know, you look, more and more teams every year just keeping 2 instead of the 3 that they used to. So now you're taking away some slots in the league. And my theory is, once you see that he's been released, you'll never hear his name again, ever.
And you know what, Tom? Your
guests always leave thrilled. Beautiful.
You're probably right, but I'm just saying, at this point, I think the Patriots should try to get something for him while there's at least a hint possibility that he might be able to play.
I think the best you're going to get for him is a conditional 7th-round pick.
Well, especially if there's a team that has quarterback issues, if there's a guy who's getting hurt, if their roster starts getting depleted. You know, maybe a team will get desperate and say, yeah, sure, you know what, here, take a 4th-round pick.
A 4th-round pick?
Oh, who knows? Whatever. I don't know. You never know if a team's going to get desperate.
I'm going off of history here. I'm like Fred. I know nothing. Okay? Fred, I'm right in your camp on this one. I know nothing. I think that you look at history with guys like Ross Tucker, Andy, Quinn Dorsey. Remember Quinn Dorsey? Who's the kid from UMass? Coley IE?
He was a real jerk.
Okay. Remember those guys? The undrafted free agents, really low round pick, backup players that never played. Patriots traded all these guys in training camp during the summer. They always got traded for a conditional draft pick.
Which turned into nothing
because none of the Patrick Cobbs, none of these guys ever made the teams that they got traded to.
Brandon Gorin was a
Brandon Gorin actually, they got whatever they got back for.
But they traded the same thing for him, right?
It was a conditional. Yeah, he was a starter though.
Right.
With the Patriots when he went. But all those other guys had no sniff of playing. And they went to teams that they said, hey, we could take him. Like, I'm sure that somebody will do with Castle when he's available. And then he'll get cut from that team, and you won't get anything for him. A conditional 7th-round pick is the best you can hope for.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We have a lot of people eager to contribute to the show. We'll do that right after this.
4-0 New England! What an opening night for the Revs in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. He's been a 3-time champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
3 touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Fred, Andy, Tom, Eric, Paul, Gary's in the booth. And we're still recovering over the weekend. Actually, I thought it was, I was pleasantly surprised by the pace of the weekend.
The
pace back,
we got 4 hours of our life.
Saturday night, we're out of there by like 10 o'clock. Sunday night, we're out of there by like 7:30.
Yeah, it was great.
No problem.
We were just talking about it. I love the NFL Network's coverage. Yep. First time in my life I didn't see Berman or Kuiper on draft, because we watched NFL Network the whole time. Went by quick. I thought everything was perfect.
And like we talked about, the only thing I think could have improved NFL's is to have a counter, an alter ego of Mayock. Someone with the same amount of knowledge that they could argue with each other.
And then Jamie Dukes kind of became that guy on day two. Where that came from, I have no idea, because he's always such a clown.
And it was the opposite. It was late in day two, too, when the guys became more and more obscure.
He actually energized the crowd.
I mean, he said, you know, when they talk about Ali Highsmith, my guy, and Mayock was like just doing his, you know, I know more than you, it's medical. And Jamie Dukes said, if it's medical, why'd you have him as a fourth-round prospect then? You had him as a fourth, and he was just going at him, and it was good stuff.
Yeah, it was good. All right, let's get to some emails because we have a lot of people emailing in, so we should do that. What? You're pointing to what?
Lunch.
The wings?
Did we thank the guy
thank
for lunch?
Thank the person who sent us lunch.
The email, you should read his. That's generally tradition.
Oh, that's right. We got lunch today, and it came from Scott from Atlanta.
We love you, Scott.
Thank you very much, Scott.
They generally have large-breasted women in Atlanta, because I was noticing behind the Hawks bench last night just...
They're all rich.
There was one actually at the scorer's table. Did you see her?
Everywhere I looked, they showed a timeout. There were big boobs.
So my sister used to live in Atlanta.
They were scoring at that table.
I've been down there a few times. It's amazing.
They must have great plastic surgeons in the group.
They do. Because they're all rich. They're all from the plantation. You know, their fathers own the plantations. They got all that money.
Do they still have slaves?
You know what I'm talking about. Those big farms, the plantations.
Southern Bells.
Yes, Southern Bells, exactly.
The views expressed by Tom Caselli are not necessarily those of the
That's not Mississippi. They still don't have slaves.
PFW in Progress in general.
Anyway, Scott from Atlanta, hope lunch got there. It did, and all is well. Sorry it's not Stoneforge. I'll do that for you next month.
It's all gone,
okay,
though.
Scott. We love it.
So Scott's questions, because he gets to have his questions read first. Everyone is dealing out draft grades, and I know that it's really impossible to do that not knowing how players are going to turn out in each team's system. But if you gave the Pats a grade, what would it be? That's his first question.
C+.
I give him a B minus.
Sure, B minus.
I'd say go B minus, yeah. That's about
okay. Two, aside from Mayo, which pick are you most excited to see and why? Of course, mine is Wheatley.
O'Connell.
Crable for me.
I would say Crable, too, because I'm interested to see. I liked him watching him on TV. Then we kind of watched the film, and I kind of got a little negative on him. So I want to see which way it goes.
And Andy says Mayo, right? You're going to go with the...
He said outside of Mayo.
Oh, outside.
Yours is Slater.
I would put Slater.
You're just intrigued.
Yeah, because I think Wheatley can play because I think he's a fast, quick... Good instincts, all that crap. I'm worried physically about the wrist, but I won't know that until it becomes an issue.
Right.
Slater, to me, you traded up to get him. He should look really good out there in shorts this weekend.
Okay. How many undrafted free agents? How many undrafted free agents did we sign after the draft? Any with promise? And where did the kid from Maine go? Mulligan.
He went to Miami.
Miami.
Just, we did not see. I didn't see any on ours that really. But one guy, Patriots fans might want to watch in the preseason. The Jets got that Coleclaw from Michigan State, the big running back,
yep.
And they have room for a guy like that.
Is it Kulrich?
Kulrich, yeah, I always call him Kulrich.
Oh, I liked him at the combine.
Yeah, he was one of those guys in game. I mean, he produced in game.
And he's not going to be your every down runner,
no.
But he's a guy that can come in there on short yardage, score near the goal line, and that's something, you know, they got Thomas Jones, but that's a guy you might want to watch during the preseason for the Jets.
Speaking of fullbacks, I heard somebody raving about the LSU kid.
Hester,
and how he's going to have this great career for the Chargers. I don't really see what he's going to do there.
I don't either. You know what I'll say, Andy? I thought the much better pick was Hillis going to the Broncos.
Right.
You talk about a perfect pick for the
right.
Broncos.
I like him.
I agree with that.
And they'll throw him the football. You'll know they'll throw it down near the goal line. They'll have him go out on those little routes.
See,
I like
him
pick.
More than your guy.
Who's my guy?
Schmidt.
No, Schmidt.
Well, I think Hillis can do a lot more than Schmidt.
That's what I thought.
He'll be a star in Seattle.
Whoever's calling Gary, he's not there right now. So,
but the latency of the internet,
really know a lot of the guys we signed. We got Ben Jarvis Ellis Green or Green Ellis,
who's the All-Patriot player. It's Ben Watson, Jarvis Green, Ellis Hobbs, Ben Jarvis Ellis.
Andy and I were joking about him at the combine because we saw the name and we're like, that'd be great if he became a Patriot because you'd have
And he was a productive player at Mississippi. I mean, he put up some numbers, and then the running back from Troy.
I think he'd be the most intriguing because we all said one of the targets might be a developmental third down back.
He's that.
He could be a practice
That's
squad
the kid from
guy.
Troy. I don't know anything about
He'll
him.
He'll probably, if I believe he's a tryout, right, Tom? I don't even think that he reportedly signed
tryout.
He's going to be here for tryout. He should look good. If he doesn't look good in shorts, you're screwed. So I would assume they'll sign him. And then I think he could, a preseason, you get on a practice squad. Who knows? Maybe he's a developmental guy.
Scott also says,
make it last year.
Fred, I asked about Brady last week, and you went on record saying something about he better be back after the draft. Is he there?
May 1st. That's
and then
Thursday.
If he doesn't get here by May 1st, I start making phone calls.
Fred, just to back you up on that a little bit, I know I was a little harsh on you the last couple of shows about that. I went back
you
and
were?
Did a little bit of research on when Brady had his offseason press conferences the last few years. Last year it was in early June. Year before that, it was in early May. Year before that, he didn't have one, or at least it's not in our archives. And then the year before that, our archives didn't show anything. So
no offense, but what the hell does that have to do with anything?
Because we were saying,
I know, but he could be here for months and not give a press conference.
Andy and I were arguing that he was in the building and he had press conferences and was doing stuff around this time beforehand. And Fred was saying, "Oh, I'm not worried till." Until he gets here May 1st.
I'm arguing he hasn't been here. That's what I'm arguing.
Although.
And he should be.
Although the trend is those press conferences are going later and later, so.
Well,
so
apparently,
September 1.
Bill's worried about his work ethic. He's drafting quarterbacks on what would have been day one last year.
I agree.
And also, Scott wants to know, what's the deal with Randy Moss starting a NASCAR truck team?
Yeah, I saw that note. That's just the deal. His money is starting a NASCar truck team of some sort. He's getting into he's one of those Southern guys. He has roots in that, that whole culture, and
he's not actually going to race, is he?
No, God, no. Pretty sure that's prohibited by your NFL contract. Getting in fast moving vehicles on a racetrack, but he's very active this offseason. He had the sneaker thing, the Puma,
pony. August 1st, I'll be aligned to get a pair of those babies.
You're gonna get a pair of ponies.
Yeah.
He's writing
Moss
a book.
Ponies.
Yep.
Yeah, the definitive real Randy Moss story.
The stamp and then all of that stuff that they honored him with at
someone's writing a book.
Boys Club or the YMCA. Right.
You're saying he couldn't
Boys
write a book?
Club?
Yeah.
I'm saying he has someone writing it for him.
Are you calling into question his intelligence?
No, I'm just saying he's not writing. He's not doing the writing. Someone is writing
it for
him.
Everybody, mostly everybody.
I know. I just
that,
like
right?
to clarify that. I like when authors should get credit for their own work.
God, you're so freaking pompous.
We know
even
how
when you're
works.
Not the one who wrote the book.
Will you just finish the freaking caricatures, will you?
It's finished.
It's finished?
Yeah. I'm going with what I got.
Are we
going
to see them?
Yes, you can see them.
All right. Chris from
good?
Peabody says it was watching You've the ESPN them. Ticker when Mel Kiper's draft grades came up. He gave the Pats a B- because they picked four of their first five picks on defense. I'm sorry, I wasn't aware that the record-breaking offense needed so much help. The worst part is that he gave the Cowboys an A- because they picked two running backs in the draft for the first time since 1991. Is he kidding? I would like to hear your guys' reaction to this. P.S. I love the gay jokes, but after a year of the same stuff to Eric, it's getting old. Move on.
It is. I agree.
I actually like being gay then. I actually like the Cowboys draft.
Who was the second running back they drafted?
Choice from Georgia Tech.
I like that.
But I liked the Boise State corner. I think it was in round four. He was projected to go much higher. He was a guy I liked. They got Mike Jenkins. So now you got two corners, and that was their linebacker. That was the Patriots for line. That was their linebacker was corner.
Why is this guy all upset because they got a B minus? A B minus. That's a good grade.
I think he's saying. I think what he's questioning is the reasoning. According to him, Kuiper, the reasoning is because they drafted defense. They only got a B minus.
The guy said that. They graded him down because they drafted 4 out of 5 on defense. I think that's why they got a B minus because they drafted 4 out of 5 on defense.
I think he would say they should have got higher. I think the reasoning that the Cowboys got an A minus because they haven't drafted two running backs since 1991 to him didn't make any sense.
Well, they needed running backs. There was a whole paragraph of an answer, by the way. That was
this is what he's saying.
I've read all the Kuiper things last night, and they all made sense, I thought. So.
Plus, first of all, you should eliminate A and F because no team got an A or an F on draft weekend. You can't say that right now. They had a need. They went and
Goose,
got a good player at
Goose
that need.
Goose is obviously trying to be that contrarian. His highest grade went to Tennessee on how I can't even comprehend.
No one thought Tennessee did
right.
Well.
Then that's telling me because they took a 3-4 end.
Because on Saturday when they called for the pick, they gave it to him. So he rewarded him with a good grade.
I find it funny that – and then, everyone's given the Chiefs these great grades. Well, they had 55 picks.
Right.
I mean, they should get some good guys.
And we all know grades are kind of silly, but you got to do it because –
but you like them.
Sirius Radio, I was listening after the draft, and the hosts were yelling at one of the callers because the caller was saying he didn't like a certain draft of one team. They said, well, how can you say that? You got to wait 3 years. Well, then why have a draft show?
Right.
Why are you guys
Why have a mock draft?
Right.
Don't have mock drafts because we don't know. No one knows.
Why are you guys
talking about the 2005 draft today, then, if that's what you want to
I agree with you, Fred. No one's – look, like Andy said, you can't really give A's or F's or whatever. If you operate under the premise that whatever grade you're giving, you're basing it on did the team fill a need and B, take a guy you thought was good enough to fill that need.
That's it.
That's all. It's a flip of a coin. Nobody knows.
Decent value.
We all understand that no one knows how good they're going to be.
Positions that they draft.
Yes.
In other words, if you needed a quarterback, but you took Ricky Santos out of UNH in the first round, that's not what you're looking for.
And these people who, look down on these people, remember how the draft got popular. It's all because of Mel Kuiper. Mel Kuiper made the draft popular because he started doing things like this. He started doing mock drafts. He started giving out grades. You know why? Because people love it. They love it. If I see draft grades, I click on it every time. I want to know what people are grading. And I understand we don't know. I mean, the Patriots, this might be their worst draft ever. Maybe none of these guys are any good. We don't know. But it's fun to see what people think.
Shane in Miami, let's take a look at this year's draft. They got a linebacker at 10 who wasn't even being mentioned in the first round until recently.
That's incorrect.
But two undersized corners with a history of injury problems and giving up the big play.
On board with
They got another skinny linebacker from Michigan who Bill Belichick himself compares favorably to Pierre Woods.
That bothered me, too.
Go ahead and finish.
A career backup who never plays. They drafted
the
obligatory white linebacker from Nebraska who wasn't supposed to be drafted, but his brother is pretty good. They drafted a quarterback with accuracy issues who might beat out Matt Castle for the second QB spot. And here is the frosting on the cake.
Not happy.
They got Jackie Slater's son. Can you believe it? He doesn't really have a position. Sometimes plays special teams and almost quit football, and they traded up to get him. I can't wait for training camp to see which one gets cut first.
Signed Andy Hart.
Shane is not happy.
Wow. That's tough. I thought we've been making a lot of the Pierre Woods thing, with Crable, and I took it a lot different than you guys did. That doesn't mean I'm right. But
he just said Pierre Woods too many times for
me. I thought every time he said it, he was comparing their body types.
Right.
I don't think it had anything to do with the caliber of play.
Just too many times. Bill, say it once. Build like Pierre Woods. Okay, stop.
Well, they said it.
But I think that's what he's talking about. Angular frame, thin, You know, you talked about the played with good leverage, but you know, despite the skinny frame, the small, the thin legs, like Peter Woods, he kept saying, and I thought he was talking in comparison of body type.
The point he made was correct. He said sophomore season. He meant to say junior. They fixed it in the transcript.
He screwed a lot of things up.
Peter Woods' junior season, he was one of the best players on the Michigan defense. And Bill's point is, for some reason, he didn't play as a senior. I don't know why. So when he's comparing him to Peter Woods, he's saying that Woods was actually productive at Michigan, not the undrafted free agent guy. So when you look at it that way, it makes more sense, I think. But
yeah,
the Mayo thing,
sure.
Everybody pretty much had Mayo in the 15, 16, 17, 18 round area. And listen, we all said we all liked him.
Yeah. He started the entire process as a first rounder.
Right.
Because before these guys certainly jump into it before I do, but when the combine was over and NFL draft scout had their projections, he was projected as a first rounder. Now, he moved his way up in the first round gradually and maybe surprised some to be taken 10, but to say that he just recently became a first round pick is not accurate, in my opinion.
Yeah. And my opinion is this, as far as the top 10 goes, I think they had two names. If Golson's there at 7, we take him. We talked to New Orleans last night. If Golson's not there, we make the trade with the Saints. We drop back to 10. We take Jerod Mayo.
Well, and I think you look at what ended up happening, too, with New Orleans, and knowing that they talked to New Orleans Friday night, that Bill and Sean Payton had spoken Friday night, it's pretty clear that they leaked out there intentionally. They were interested in Cedric Ellis. Mm-hmm. The Pro Football Weekly thing had, we're hearing strong word out of New England that the Patriots, Cedric Ellis is the guy. They wanted to make sure they had a fallback.
Right.
Maybe it was Dorsey, maybe it was Golston, whoever they liked out of those top six or seven guys, if that guy wasn't available, their fallback was, we'll switch with New Orleans because they think we like Cedric Ellis, and we'll go down a little bit. And that's what they did.
All right. Matt from Quincy says the theme of this year's draft for me was speed. And youth on defense. They're not just guys.
You're the only one who picked that one up.
They're not just guys who run fast 40 times, but they play fast also. This is what his little scouting report says. Mayo,
big.
He says, I wish some people would stop calling him Gerard. He has speed and relentless motor. The only thing I thought was a concern was that he seems a bit stiff in the legs and hips. I hope the knees are not an ongoing concern. Wheatley, he thinks he's, again, very fast and quick. His interview with the media was one of the most impressive I have ever heard from a rookie. Word. He sounded like a CEO, not a football player. If he brings this intelligence and speed to the field, we may have something special. Agreed. Sean Crable has the wingspan of a 747. Prototypical outside linebacker in the 3-4. Intelligence, a question. I still go back to that incredibly dumb late hit penalty he took against Ohio State 2 seasons ago. Kevin O'Connell, nice call on this one, Eric, with a K. He looks the part, a 4-year captain at San Diego. I don't care where you play, that's impressive. Flip a coin, one of the mats is gone. Jonathan Wilhite, whatever else you think about him, he's really fast. Considering the bloodline picks the Pats took, is there any chance he's related to Gerald Wilhite? Is he?
It's not spelled the same.
He sucks.
Oh, is it?
I don't know who Jerry Wilhite is.
Slater, not quite the same body type of his dad. A guided missile covering kicks in a burner. There is a great YouTube video of him returning a punt where he pulls away like a sports car in the open field. Has a fifth gear that very few other players have.
Fred, is that true? Didn't you watch some video of him? And I believe I heard you say, he doesn't even pull away from people.
Well, maybe it's not the same one, but the one I saw wasn't that impressive. No. And Bo Rood, another bloodline pick, smart and fast. Considering his lineage, it's surprising he wasn't rated higher. All things considered, maybe he's just not very good.
Okay, let me say something, Fred. I think it's almost humanly impossible for a fan to agree with every pick that was made by a team. In my lifetime, I have never looked at a Cowboys draft, and this goes back to Jimmy Johnson, and said, I like every pick. So if you like every pick, that's when you always say, what's the definition of a homer? That's it, because Fred Kirsch didn't like every pick. So if you like every pick, that's amazing.
Well, never mind.
Gerald Wilhite was 2 L's. I think Jonathan is 1 L. Okay.
Yes, it is 1.
Luke writes in
from
England. He say, you guys did a great job during the draft, especially for fans such as me who don't have full access to the draft except for dodgy internet streaming. I don't get to see much college football except for teams such as USC, so the information you give on players from smaller schools is great. On another note, which is close to my heart, but you guys may have no interest in, there were rumors over here that the Crafts were planning to take over Liverpool over in England. I'm a Manchester United supporter, and the rivalry between the club is equivalent to the Patriots-Jets. My club is currently owned by the Glazers, who I believe own the Buccaneers. Fred, I think you should use your influence in the building to stop any such move, as it would break my heart as a Pats fan. They are the scum of the earth.
You're right. No interest.
Well, actually, the Crafts did have an interest in Liverpool, but this is like a couple of years ago.
Took a shot.
And because of the stadium situation and the economics of the Premier League, they didn't get out of it. I thought Liverpool was all wrapped up with another owner. So, but I don't think the Crafts are interested anymore, so you don't have to worry about it.
They got a mall that they're pumping their money into.
And I know they don't have employees that are pumping their money into it.
Brad from New Hampshire wants to know, why isn't the draft show from Sunday on iTunes yet?
Chris screwed
Herrera.
Up. Whoa, it's probably Dan's fault.
Even though Dan wasn't here?
Rod Ferreira, never done anything wrong in his life.
Now, you know, I thought he did a yeoman's job over the weekend. The site
Does
looks
that
great.
Mean, if yeoman means average, that's it.
Matt from Waseca, do you think that drafting three linebackers in this draft signifies that Belichick really likes the class of linebackers in the draft, or does it just signify that we really needed them?
More need than need. Really liked.
Yeah, I don't think it was any.
I think they like Mayo.
Crable.
Yeah.
I think it's both. I think if they had number 10 last year, like you said, they would have picked Patrick Willis.
Yeah, right. But I don't think there'd be many other ones that they would have gone after.
I think it's a combination, because I believe Bill when he said he felt like there was as many 3-4 linebacker candidates this year as there were last year. Guys that he liked that thought fit the system. Now, what makes it hard is you don't know who they all were last year to know if they were available when the Patriots picked.
Like Stuart Bradley, the guy he mentioned.
He was definitely one of them. He was to Philly.
Third round pick to Philadelphia.
See, I think had there been, you know, give or take 10 picks, either way, whatever, I think they would have picked Stuart Bradley if it had it worked out.
And by the way,
I think they love Sean Craven.
No, there was my boy Bo Rude switched to Stuart Bradley's position this year after playing the weak side.
Don't you remember the rumor that came out last year? They picked one pick ahead. New England traded that pick, and it was because the Eagles took Bradley with the pick before.
Right.
That was the rumor that came. And then they traded
the pick.
But
that's what I mean. Like,
that's what I'm trying to say.
At that point. You're not taking a guy so five rounds early.
Maybe they
People
take
try
Bradley.
To oversimplify it all the time by saying they didn't take a linebacker in the top five rounds in four years in a row. He doesn't like any linebackers. Well, I think there were probably individuals in every round that he thought about taking, but just didn't think the value was there. Now, I think Bobby Carpenter was a guy. Now, Carpenter hasn't done anything as a Cowboy yet. So maybe that was, good fortune for the Patriots. But I happen to think if he was available when the Patriots picked, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I think he would have been a guy they had a lot of interest in.
Colin says, and he's from Bristol, Connecticut, after watching the draft and hearing the podcast, I would give our draft an A-minus potential-wise. I love the Mayo pick because, like everyone, I think he has more of an upside than Keith Rivers or Vernon Golston. I think the Jets would have been better
off.
Whoa,
like everyone?
Like everyone?
Well, I think the Jets, all Patriots fans, I think the Jets would have been better off taking Mendenhall than taking Golston, because I just see Golston not panning out over time and could be the biggest bust of this draft because of a lack of effort during big games.
I've got a feeling there's going to be more of those emails
now. I'm in charge of that club.
The biggest game Ohio State plays is Michigan, and that's the game that he plays the best.
I think the biggest sleeper will be our sixth-round outside linebacker. Oh, and when did Roger Clemens decide that Tom's idea of high school talent searching was a great idea to take?
Like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
That is just odd.
My
that
new idol.
Story. I don't want to get into it, but 15 years
Steroids
old.
Steroids and 15-year-old girls.
No.
What a life.
No. Nah.
Oh, then I don't like it.
She's gross.
If you're going to go 15, she's got to be blazing, because if you're going to break the law, you got to be doing it for
if
a reason.
If you're going to jail, it better
it's
be
my
worth
whole
it.
Clinton thing. The country wouldn't have cared if she was a hot blonde. That's Nobody would have cared. It was because she was a fat pig.
Although, she wasn't fat, but she did become a country singer, so maybe she got
skinny.
A lot of her material from
And she saved a dress with spooge on it.
She
what's that all about?
You guys are crossing stories here. He's talking about the country singer. Right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I was talking about Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, I was,
No,
too.
No, yeah, I was going back to Clemens. Sorry.
Clemens went out with Monica Lewinsky?
No.
Oh, God. I knew that was coming.
Predictable.
Matt from Quincy says, I watched Patriots Today this morning, and they said Bielo would sit down with Tom Casale to discuss the picks and give a quick scouting report. When they got to that segment, I realized that the reason the cranium wasn't included was that Casale apparently ate him. TC, what the hell diet are you on these days anyway? Maybe it was just the shirt you were wearing from the Omar the Tent Maker collection, but no more jokes about Perillo's girth from you, you bowling ball.
Wow. I've lost weight.
No, it was the shirt. And plus, the internet puts on 20 pounds. They all say that.
How many internets are on you?
Who's that?
They all say that.
Ah, someone's at the door.
Hey, I'm Brian Lowe from Patriots Today. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day.
And again, Gary is dead on, courtesy of the number one pick out of Tennessee. We have the Tennessee Alarm Clock. That's Tennessee Alarm Clock.
Wow. Okay.
Can I read it, Fred? It's not really that bad.
I'm out.
You're out. Where are you going?
You got a thing?
I got a thing.
Oh, hey, did you win your thing? What's the thing you were fighting yesterday?
No, I got to go back.
You got to go back?
I got to go and
what?
I got to go and talk to the judge.
Is it going to the jury?
I thought
now?
You did go to the judge.
I had a I won majesty. One and I lost the other. So it really does me no good to accept that. So I paid the $20 to go and tell it to the judge, as they say.
Yeah, I know, but with the gas you're spending now, you should just pay the ticket.
It's the surcharge I'm worried about.
Okay. Yeah. So now where are you going? Big Show?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what happened? The lady.
Paulie's on the Big Show.
The lady from Babies R Us came to give counter testimony.
You're making my point.
What's that? What's that, Eric?
I said he didn't get off because the lady from Babies R Us came to give counter testimony against him.
Character witness.
Yeah.
All right. Mish in Montreal says, I'd like to send out a warning to fellow listeners not to spend extended periods of time listening to the show. I didn't have access to the live stream this weekend, so I thought it'd be fun to download all 6 hours of draft coverage and listen on Monday at work. 5 hours and 28 minutes into it, I had to run to the bathroom and throw up. The good news is, in my haste, I didn't have time to pause the show or remove the earphones, so the fact that the show was still running really helped make sure my system was completely clear. Wow, is he saying it's because of the show he had to throw up?
Apparently.
Wow.
I like the part where he listened to it for 5.5
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, I know. It took him that long to get sick?
I thought I'd set a couple over-unders for you guys about the new draft picks and how long it'll take them to reach a certain spot on the depth chart. Gerard Mayo, number 2 at inside linebacker, 8 games.
He'll start.
Start, probably.
So, under.
By 8 games, under, he'll be
yeah.
the starter.
Yes.
Okay. Under.
Under.
Terrence Wheatley, number 3 at corner, 12 games.
Under.
Under. Sean Crable, number 3 at outside linebacker, 10 games. So you got Thomas and you
under.
Got Vrabel.
Oh, right. Who else do you have?
Yeah,
apparently Pierre Woods.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'll take the under.
Kevin O'Connell, number 2 at quarterback, 8 games.
Under.
Under.
Under. Okay.
So unless they sign a veteran, I need a little out there.
Right.
Of the guys on the depth chart, he'll be number 2.
Let's see. Iggy from Madrid. All players, with no exception, told the media that they were ready to do whatever Bill tells them to do. The Belichick-Scott Pioli duo seems to like those automatic players ready to do whatever they are asked.
Whoa. Well, how many draft picks in their conference calls with any of the other 31 teams said, you know what, I'm doing X, Y, and Z, and if they ask me to do anything else, I'm not doing
right.
it.
That's also,
the dumbest thing.
Another fact about the draft, Patriots do draft by need. They needed linebacker, cornerback, backup quarterback. They chose 3 linebackers, 2 cornerbacks, 1 backup
We've been
quarterback.
Saying that for 5 years.
And Slater's kid. If they do not nail it with this year's draft, the Pats are screwed for the future after poor 06 and 07 drafts. Well, I don't know about that. Anything you want to share over there?
No. Not that we can, no.
No? Oh, okay. Kieran, our 16-year-older from Ireland who wants to fight Eric.
No, wait a minute. He never...
He didn't challenge you?
No, that's some other dude.
Oh.
No, I'm pretty sure everyone wants to fight you.
Kieran will probably fight you.
No, I'm not looking for that,
He's
Fred.
From Ireland.
I'm not looking for that.
They fight
Andy's
a lot
the one who hates the Irish.
He's a hooligan.
He's going to fight Andy.
I don't hate the Irish.
Yes,
I
you
just
do.
I point out the obvious...
You hate.
...aspects of their lifestyle.
No, you're a hater.
Anyway, great job with the draft. However, I am worried for Tom. He is losing his draft mojo. All day we heard, when is someone going to draft Ali Highsmith? Eric hit on the O'Connell pick, and Andy hit on the Studebaker pick. Paul didn't do anything because, well, he's lazy. And Fred, well, Fred forgot the draft was even on.
Where was Antoine Kaysen picked?
First round?
Okay.
Anyway, back to Tom. I think his heart is already in Vegas. Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Wow. It's like Parcells when he... Coach the Patriots.
Yeah, but the thing with Highsmith was he dropped because of medical thing. It wasn't he
like
was
a
considered a fourth round pick, And, you know, hey, I had some personal issues this year, and I couldn't go to the combine. So I was a scoop over here. It was supposed to be my eyes and ears.
First of all, don't blame me because I didn't do linebacker.
Instead,
scoop to your left.
Instead, he was reviewing, giving me restaurant reviews in the blog.
Right.
That is negative. I believe Tom Casale and Eric Scalavino.
I thought I had a heck of a draft, to be honest with you.
I didn't think it was up to your usual
standards. I thought it was really good.
It was kind of like my commentary on the schedule.
Oh,
you started
good.
Out good. You haven't been good in years.
I've been good.
I was right on. I said I'd be very surprised if the Patriots drafted the safety from Notre Dame, and sure enough, they didn't draft.
Okay, now let me ask you a question, Fred.
Sibikowski.
Someone did a mock draft on Friday. I think it was me. And seven, I put, don't be surprised if Jerod Mayo was a surprise pick here. Now, did anyone else here do that?
No.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
That was
You're
good.
The only one who did a mock draft.
Yeah, we didn't do a mock draft.
I'm sure you guys would have had.
Everybody and their brother was reporting it.
No, I don't think so.
I wanted to put Vernon Goldstein.
Yeah, I spent a whole day prepping it.
Don't worry, Tom. Your fans still love you. Alex says, I was reading an SI piece on draft misses, and one of those was the Patriots' blown chance of drafting Howie Long by selecting Tony Collins. My question is, who was Tony Collins?
Was a running back.
Running back in the first Super Bowl era.
Yeah, he was a decent running back.
Yeah, but you compare it.
Not over an extended period.
Long.
Yeah, no, he definitely a miss.
He and Craig James were part of the Pats backfield.
You can do that with every team for any. I mean,
every team.
Everybody missed somebody great.
Greg Ellis is a good player for the Cowboys. They missed. They could have had Randy Moss. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Portland Trailblazers could have had Michael Jordan.
Right. You can do that every team, every sport, every position, everything.
Let's see. Dave from Storrs, Connecticut. He says, I hated the Will Hyde pick. I think that Terrence Wheatley is going to be a very good corner and might have between 4 to 5 picks this year, judging from what I've seen or read. Two, originally I hated the Slater pick as well, but do you think that Belichick knows something we don't? Did he trade up because he thinks he's getting a game-breaking kick returner that has Devin Hester potential? Otherwise, I don't get it.
No one has Devin Hester potential.
No, he's a phenomenon.
Yeah, that's...
I mean... That's one of those things.
Now, when you're a good kick returner, they compare you to Hester. I've never seen anything like Hester. So unless they're going to start coming out every year now,
the only thing I can say is on punts, Deion Sanders used to have that. Every time he took the ball, there was that close to breaking it that Bo Jackson had when he was running. He was very close to breaking almost every time he touched it.
Now we're comparing a guy who didn't play in college to Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, and Devin Hester.
Well, I don't know. We don't know. And otherwise,
I do know.
But you better hope Bill knows something that we don't about Will Hyde, too, because that's the pick I like the least.
Finally, have you heard that a ton of fans are down on the O'Connell pick? This makes no sense to me. We got two pretty good linebackers, and people still were bitching constantly about not taking Connor in that spot. O'Connell has great tools, and under Belichick and McDaniel's tutelage, I think he can be a very good quarterback if we need to use him. Plus, his athleticism really gives him an advantage if he were to come in early in his career. He can run and throw well, and he's big with a strong arm. What's not to like there?
I just don't understand because... I lost where having a backup quarterback where you don't need one. I just missed it. And
Brady's contract is over in 2010, by the way.
Yeah, and
he's had shoulder problems.
Yeah.
And he's never been hurt, which in my mind says he's going to be hurt.
I don't mind the pick.
It's a great pick, especially at that point. Yeah.
You have Matt Cassel and Matt Gutierrez. Okay, one guy didn't play in college. The other guy had to transfer to Idaho State because he got kicked out of Michigan.
Right.
So it's not like they have the cream of the crop here. I don't get it.
And this guy's a 4-year starter, 4-year captain. The guy's probably going to be one of the best athletes on the team.
And it's what like
they
guys like
a linebacker and corner are two biggest things, and then they went value.
Mike Lombardi kept saying on the NFL Network. Like Ron Wolf used to just draft quarterbacks because one or two things could happen. One, they'd become good quality backups, mm-hmm. or two, they would become so good in the preseason that other teams would trade for them.
And
so what's wrong with having a commodity like that?
And that happened twice. That happened with Brunell. It happened with
Hasselbeck. And it just happened with Atlanta with whatchamacallit, Schaub.
The only problem with that theory is the Patriots have been trying it for years and they failed to do it.
Alejandro from Bogota says, in defense of Eric, I just want to say that no matter how desperately miserable a show it is, it can't be worse than the All Alone Paul Perillo experiment. The only problem I found is that Eric likes to get too much into details. For instance, an Eric version of my email would be, hello, guys, I'm a New England Patriots fan, and since you cover the team and I have contact with the owners, coaches, and players, I would like to share my opinions with you on several topics so I can get your privileged point of view. I prefer to write the email because a standard letter would take much too much time to be delivered.
That's a good email.
Nice job on draft day. I just want to say that Fred is some kind of management genius. He gets more from his employees after pay cuts. My question is, when
you get more from me,
when you watch film on a line, they nobody got a pay cut. Are you spreading rumors?
I didn't get a pay cut. I got a pay stay the same.
Right. Which in a world where food and gas are tripling every day,
we're all in
the
same boat.
And, yeah, so it's not
Except
Fred.
Your
it's,
boat has jet skis that come off the back, a helicopter that flies off the roof.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fred, I've never blamed you. Fred's not in charge of the money here. It's then you just do the reviews.
Everything I can give you, I give you.
I know you do. I'm blaming the crafts.
It's the nature of the beast. My question is, when you watch film on linebacker prospects, how do you evaluate his coverage skills, particularly when you know he will have to play in a 3-4 scheme? And last but not least, Andy, you are a disgusting human being. I never heard of anybody using a dirty and sweaty sock in such a manner. Do you go to the shower after that, or do cheerleaders like okay.
Now you get
see, now I can't go there.
Wait, but I don't know what it said.
I'm not reading
it. You can't read it on the air.
No.
You already read it?
Of course.
Do cheerleaders go there, or?
I'll let you see it after.
Well, as far as the linebacker goes, there's only one Derek Brooks who can really cover tight ends and backs. You don't get too many of those. Right. So anytime a back or a good tight end is with a linebacker, it's advantage offense. I do it based on their drops, when they drop into zones.
That's all you're watching.
Do they have reactions when the ball's in the air, that type
of
thing.
Do they turn their hips, and can they get 12 yards down, 15 yards downfield? That's all you're really watching.
Yeah.
Tom's right. I think one guy we fell in love with last year was John Beeson. Looks like he has the ability to turn and run with people. But there's one of those every few years. That it's just not something you do.
And that's another guy, when you say the Patriots didn't draft linebackers, that's another guy I think they were interested in a little bit.
Right. But you certainly, I mean, you're not drafting a guy to run stride. I mean, offenses all around the league work to get tight ends and running backs matched up with linebackers because it's an advantage offense. There's a reason they do that, because there's nobody that can cover it.
Rob says, Colts fan in Indy, but I enjoy your show. I emailed you all a couple of weeks ago about the draft. Thought that Mayo was a great pick for you. Good luck with that. Sorry, the Colts are taking all the quality undrafted free agents. We'll leave you all the scraps.
Rob, my guy Silva.
Rob, can you email back in, please? Why did the Colts take three centers? I was intrigued by that.
Well, did you see that YouTube video that came out today with Manning and Jeff Saturday?
No.
What happened?
Oh my goodness.
Well, it's nothing new. It's a clip from a sideline at a on the sideline at a game, and Manning yelling at him, "Stop calling out the plays." And he blocked somebody.
Hey, quit calling the plays, all right?
Hey, we gotta run the ball. Six down.
We're in pass blocks. We'll run the ball.
Can we run it down there?
Just play center.
We run it down.
Yeah, Jeff. We will. All right, we call pass plays. Block. No, he's calling plays.
Go sit down.
He's calling plays. I will sit down. Don't quit yelling.
Hey, go sit down.
No, we're cool. Y'all can yell.
Over here telling us how to
block. He's doing it.
Come on, okay.
He's yelling at us.
You don't have to go yet. Come on.
That's Tarek Glenn telling Peyton Manning to sit down.
Is that who it is, Glenn?
Tarek Glenn.
What game was that from? Well, it's from 2 years ago at least, right? Because Glenn.
Oh, was it 2 years? Oh, that's too bad.
I got to think. I'm not going to say this happens all the time, but it sounds like it was a heat of a moment type of deal where they were getting on each other.
Well, I actually like the part when Glenn comes in and gets in front of me and says, go sit down.
Well, he went over. You know, he was sitting separate from the offensive lineman, and it's like he was thinking about something. All of a sudden, he gets up and runs over to where the linemen are and starts yelling at Jeff Saturday, because I guess Jeff Saturday was arguing with him in the huddle about the play calling.
Right.
He wanted to run it more. And, you know, and that he had just got sacked or something like that. And so he's like, you know, when we're passive pass block, we'll run, we'll do running plays. Don't worry about it. But, you know, at least.
But he was saying stop calling out the plays?
No, stop calling plays.
Oh,
stop
calling.
Saying it's not, it's not your job.
It's not your job. Yeah. I call.
Which
it shouldn't be the quarterbacks either, but that's a different
argument. But I kind of like what Manning did there.
Oh,
I just, you know, it's a.
But then Tarek Glenn gets up and goes, sit down, stop yelling.
That's the part I liked.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, Rob. Kuiper said, or Mayock, one of them said, they drafted three of my top five centers. I think it was Kuiper in his review on ESPN. So if you could just give me some background on why they thought that was a position. I mean, I'm sure one of them will go to guard or something like that. But it seems,
they lost a guard, right?
Yeah, I'm interested to know why they went center so heavy.
Stripper says Matt Slater will replace Kelly Washington. I don't think so.
No.
No.
Because Washington is a return guy, and I can tell you right now, Slater is probably not a good
special team.
Coming out of the gate, Washington was phenomenal last
Washington
year.
Made
if Slater's that good, then I
that's
like the
why
pick.
They, right, that's yeah. why they drafted him if he's that good, but I find that hard to believe.
Let's see. This is TG and NJ. Great job with the draft. What do you know, if anything, about the rookie free agents? Josh Kaufman out of East Carolina. Anybody?
A little slow. Slow feet.
Do we know if he signed anyone? Oh, this is the guy that we signed. Chris Norwell, Illinois, defensive lineman.
Didn't love him.
Vince Red, Liberty.
That's a potential raw guy. He's got athleticism, but a little raw.
How about Keith Saunders from Alabama?
Him I don't know much about.
Jonathan Stupar from Virginia, the tight end.
Yeah, it's a slow guy, more of a blocker, so maybe he sticks on the practice squad.
Plus he was their number two tight end, right?
And Casey Tyler, defensive lineman from Portland State.
Don't know anything about him.
Tom, I ain't got nothing on Lito Shepherd. I'm in North Jersey, Giants and Jets territory. The Eagles fans populate the southern half of the state. You can pretty much cut New Jersey in half, give the northern part to New York and the southern half to Pennsylvania. Make Puerto Rico a state, and we won't have to change the flag. What? Question for Fred, what's the date today? See, he's making fun of me.
So who's our Philly guy? We have a Philly guy.
We do.
It's Nick Nacara. Who's P.J. Nacarelli? It's Nacarelli. That's who it is. P.J. Nacarelli. That's the guy. I got the wrong guy.
Let's see. Chris Simonelli says, yesterday on EEI, Bill said they moved up to draft Slater because he and Pioli felt there was a need for speed guys, and they wanted to make sure they got him.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone else
was going to take him.
Well, they might have got word. I don't know.
Yeah, they might have. Maybe they, you never know. Boy, is this the part where Paul's going to be on?
Yeah, suppose. Well, I think he was already on, right?
Oh.
Let's see. A lot of people sending us the Peyton Manning thing.
It was entertaining. If you're a Patriots fan, you can go chuckle at that a little bit.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's some of those of Brady out there, too.
I can guarantee you.
There definitely are.
The thing about Brady is they don't yell back.
But what?
They don't yell back.
You don't think anyone's ever yelled back at Brady?
Not on the sideline.
Yeah, but you know what? If this happened a couple years ago, this might have been before Peyton won his Super Bowl.
True.
So maybe they're not yelling back now.
But I also think it's an inherent part of the Colts offense. You think those linemen are dumb? You think Saturday plays all-pro center and doesn't know what he's reading? They read every single play they come to the line of scrimmage. Mm. So he sees things, and obviously at some point over the years, he's going to develop an opinion as, we should actually be running here. And Manning's not doing it, and they're struggling for three, four drives, and he goes, run the bleeping ball.
Yeah. And I think that's okay. I think that whole exchange was okay. He said, what did he say? We threw it six effing times in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think that you're right. He probably has an opinion that we can run on these guys, and then Peyton saying, shut up, that's not your job. You block, the way you need to block.
Tom, I read somewhere today about the Colts drafting those three centers.
You want to take that, Fred?
That they had plans to make at least one or two of them as guards.
And that makes sense, too, on their line.
Took you that long to reply?
He was formulating.
You guys wouldn't shut up, so I had to wait till there was a break in the action.
We're supposed to talk.
I figured they would. I'm surprised they went that heavy into that part of the – they must need a big upgrade on the interior part of the line.
With their offense, as I said, they read so much and they do so much at the line of scrimmage. I bet you they love centers because they're the guys usually doing that. So you bring in a couple centers, make them a guard. You have these across-the-board smart guys who are apparently turning around saying, run the bleeping ball to Manning.
Let's see. Who's this? This
is Armando Salguero.
No, this is DeJuan, I think.
Morgan?
Tribble? He says, did the Jets steal Vernon Golston from the Patriots? Would he be a Patriot if the Jets didn't pick him?
Yes.
I think he would be.
And apparently he was the Jets' third choice.
One other thing. How many corners and linebackers can one team have on the roster? What are we going to do with all the sorting out of all this? Overall, I'm glad we addressed our issues. Is Mayo a starter this year or next year?
This year.
I think that all first-rounders should be able to step in and make an immediate impact. What kind of contract will Mayo get from the Patriots? What can we get within free agent market? And he goes on and on.
They'll get just under $15 million in guarantees.
More than Tom's getting this year.
And
he said more than Tom's getting.
That would have been true if he said $15. The one thing I like is that they say that Golston was the Jets' third choice, so Patriots fans think that think that that's funny because they had to settle for their third choice. You would have taken the Jets' third choice if they didn't take him.
Right.
I mean, that just means there was three good players there. And
plus, maybe one of those choices was McFadden, who was gone.
That definitely. Yeah, I think it was Dorsey, McFadden. Dorsey, and who are, I mean, know. Those are three good players.
Yeah. Plus, in a draft where everyone says there's no clear-cut order, obviously you're going to have – you know, some overlapping.
Bill said it in the press conference before the draft last week.
I have a feeling that Vernon Golston is going to be a thorn in the Patriots side for many a year. And it's going to be
fans.
And you're going to end up saying, geez, you know, we almost had him, and that's how I feel.
Nick in Cambridge says, I like the questions you were asking during the conference calls, but please, please, please ban Fred from the draft. I can't even say it. Ban Fred from the draft podcast next year. That was painful. Wow.
What happened?
I don't know. I know you guys were watching the NFL Network coverage, but did any of you happen to see when Todd McShay called Mel a liar on Sunday?
No.
Mel was rambling about how Jacksonville should have mortgaged their draft for Jason Taylor and how he was sure they could have gotten him for their second-round pick. Todd asked him if he had inside info on a deal like that, and Mel actually said yes, like an idiot, and McShay called him a liar and told him he was just making stuff up. The highlight of the second day for me.
Well, and I will say this. I believe if Miami said, we'll give you Jason Taylor for your second rounder, he'd be in Jacksonville right now. That's why I don't believe Kuiper one bit. Because when you're a team like that who's looking for pass rushers and all you have to do is give up a second round pick to have the pass rusher, you're going to do that.
Right.
So I don't believe the story.
Did they trade to get up? I mean, they traded
three,
more than that.
Picks to move up to get
Harvey.
I'll
take Jason Taylor, even if it's only for 2 to 3 years.
Nick also wants to throw in his 2 cents on O'Connell. Nick just left San Diego. He says he threw 46 touchdowns and ran for another 19 and is a good athlete, but I just want to throw the following red flags out there. One, with those 46 TDs, he also tossed 34 interceptions. 46 touchdowns is not a lot for 39 starts. Quarterback is the only position other than starting pitcher in sports where wins matter. He has a career record of 15-24.
Oh, no.
That's not very good. Yes, he had a poor talent around him, but he played in a subpar league that is a pass-happy league.
Well, I'll just say that team sucked.
Right.
I mean, they were really bad.
Even Bill said that when he was talking about O'Connell.
And you're talking this year, they kind of made a few strides to getting better, but the last couple of years before that, they were really, really, really bad. So I think it's hard to judge. I think that's more of a professional thing. College is a little bit tougher to do because if you're the worst team in the conference, you're going to get beat up on.
And when he played in his All-Star games this year against talent from around the country, he was on one, I think it was the Hula Bowl, where his team was awful. And when he came in the game, he was the only quarterback of the three or four that played who could do anything. So that's one of the reasons why I liked him, was that he showed talent with other players of his caliber when he had to.
All right. Well, let's take a break now, Gary. We'll be right back.
4-0 New England! What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. He's been a 3-time champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
3 touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Back there in PFW in progress. Paul has left. He's gone to the big show.
Yeah,
that should be interesting. You know, see.
We've been able to talk.
I wonder.
That was really interesting. Not.
What have they been talking about on sports radio today? Because when I drove in, it was all Celtics.
Well, I don't listen to sports radio.
Some Celtics. The ridiculous one I thought was talking about Garnett getting suspended. Mike Greenberg, the more I listen, I used to like him. Now I think he's more and more a clown. And I know Patriots fans are on board with that because he says dumb stuff about them.
He likes the Jets.
There was like a little altercation with Garnett and some European dude on the Hawks last night. And I guess the official grabbed Garnett from behind, and Garnett was trying to get to the guy and kind of like wriggled out of it.
Yeah.
And he thinks Garnett should be suspended.
Well, he didn't know.
I saw the
him.
Thing live, and never once in my mind did anybody getting suspended cross my mind. It was one of those, you tee up a couple guys and we play basketball.
Well, Paul brought up you guys brought up something interesting. What would be the biggest?
Well, Paul, take credit for it if you want.
What would be the bigger choke or bigger disappointment? The Patriots losing to the Giants in the Super Bowl, or if the Hawks beat the Celtics in round one?
Well, now that's two different wordings.
Okay,
because I think choke is the Celtics. You were the best team in basketball all year.
And you lose it in
title.
The first
you
round.
Lose in a series, as
right.
we talked about earlier.
In the first round.
The Patriots, it's a bigger disappointment because you're right on the cusp of perfection.
I think if the Patriots lost to Jacksonville, it'd be more.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
They led the Super Bowl with a minute something to go.
So disappointment, Patriots choke
yes.
Celtics.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
And especially for Garnett, because he's going to go down as one of the biggest losers in the history of sports. Because he's done this before, and he's brought to the big three, and he's going to change everything, and the whole whatever their campaign is, go for seven, march to 17, drive to 17, and you're out in the first round to Al Horford and Mike Bibby.
Isn't it 2-2?
Yeah, but
they're not. There's no way they're going to.
The
lose
Hawks are in the Celtics' heads. All of a sudden, the Celtics, who were blowing people out and killing the Hawks at home, the Hawks are taking it to them.
They're going
to
wake up.
I think they probably will. I think they'll probably blow the Hawks out of the water.
It's like Montreal. They woke up in that last game and they dominated.
Now, is the third game in Atlanta?
No, it's in Boston. They're coming.
So it's 1-1-1?
It's 2-2-1.
Oh, no, yeah.
They go 2-2-1 in the series. Two home, two away, and one back at home.
1-1-1,
right?
Yeah.
Seven-game series.
I thought it was five in the...
No, it's seven-game series. It's 1-1-1 now. But the difference there, Fred, is the Bruins have no talent. The Hawks have some talent. So when they get moving athletically, they have some guys who can make plays.
Did you have something that you wanted to say, Eric? No?
Oh, Kieran did.
No, I'm good.
Oh, Kieran.
Emailed in on reply to Eric. I'll fight Eric.
I never said I wanted to fight the kid.
I'll fight Eric as long as he doesn't bring his boyfriend to help him. People have used that line before.
Yeah, I know. It's old. It's not funny.
And then he said, Andy is not hated over here. I like Andy. He's very funny. His childish, dirty jokes appeal to me as I'm only 16.
Well, yeah, you're 16.
There
Andy's
you
not.
Andy, keep it up. And so, and then he returned, new paragraph. So, in conclusion, Eric is gay.
I don't need to take this from a 16-year-old.
So, fight
Yeah,
him.
You do, because he'll kick your ass.
if either of you crosses the pond, you get your ass whooped.
We should have a day where we invite people to Gillette to fight Eric.
That'd be good.
It's like those dunk booths at Carnival, but they beat up
line up. And
addiction.
Would you do it?
Everyone just lines up and kicks them in the nuts.
You're a charitable guy. If people were willing to come and pay to beat you up, would you do it?
I tell you what, I'll make a bet with you. If you can go an entire day without saying...
No chance. So I'll just,
okay, then. So the hell with you.
I tried it once. I lasted an hour.
All right, then.
Fred from Montreal says, I know why the Pats drafted those two cornerbacks. Bielicek is tired of losing his good corners through free agency like Juan Samuel, so he decided to pick some who have no value to any other team.
Wow.
Wow.
So people, are we a little higher on the draft than people
It's
are?
Split. This is actually pretty split. There's people who are, you know, extremely high on it, and then people who aren't that happy with it. So
no, compared to last year, I'm definitely higher on it.
Well, but there's more to be intrigued by. Yeah. Even if you think a corner stinks, he's better
last
than three.
Last year was flat out crap. The only thing you could say about last year was, well, we got Moss and Welker. That was the crying.
But at least Will Height's a corner and athlete. He's not Clint Oldenburg.
Let's see. Chris says, review of this year's draft. Mayo's a stud. Wheatley can get AM, FM, and Sirius satellite radio in his arm.
And park right in front of any store he wants.
Crable is taller, longer arm version of Pierre Woods. O'Connell, say goodbye, Castle. Will Height gets beat like a drum, member of the Auburn band. Slater, Arena Football League star who has yet to find himself. Rudd is a Pop Warner linebackers coach. Obviously tongue-in-cheek. And by the way, you hit a grand slam with this past weekend's show. Also love the prospect database. I referred to it all weekend.
We're glad you enjoyed it.
Yes.
So that's good.
We're going to take the next month off.
We were pretty proud of that. Then nobody commented on it. Nobody cared.
I am taking the next month off.
Yes, I know. Some would say you're taking the last year and a half off.
Nobody would say that.
Let's see. Stripper says he loved the QB pick. In 2 years, Tom will be headed out of New England, and O'Connell will lead us.
Strippers is madly in love with O'Connell, both as a player and he thinks he's hot.
He must have his website or something.
He probably does. KevinO'Connell.com.
He also says, did you hear anyone on Sirius yesterday talking about Castle? Maybe it was Randy Cross, I'm not sure, but mentioned they think Castle could fetch a pick, and he could be the next Matt Schaub.
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far with the Schaub.
What do Randy Cross and Eric have in common?
Well, what does what? Go ahead.
They like putting their hands in behind somebody's rear end.
He was a center.
Oh, that's right. He likes having someone's hands behind.
No, I was just going to say they both collect paychecks from the New England Patriots.
Oh, I was going to say
that's why Randy Cross is saying it.
You know what Schaub and Castle have in common? Schaub was the ACC Player of the Year as a senior. Castle didn't play. So that's about as far
and
away
Schaub
as you can
did
get.
He got into real games and performed well.
Yeah, he bitch slapped these Patriots.
Yeah.
That was the big one. When he played the Patriots and threw for over 300 yards, that's the game that everyone said, wow, you know, this guy can play a little bit.
Look, best case scenario, in the preseason this year, Castle gets in three, maybe all four games, does better than he has in any of the other preseason games he's been in, and becomes trade bait, and somebody says, you know what, he's done pretty well, we'll take a flyer on him, we'll give you something for him.
What's something?
I don't know.
I'm asking you. Why are you yelling at me?
A pick.
By the way, I agree with you in that scenario. Best case scenario.
Yes.
He absolutely likes it.
That's why I'm asking what something is. Why are you yelling at me?
But we're making
because you said yelling on the show is what people like.
I'm asking you a real question. What's something in your mind?
A pick.
Okay.
A mid-round to low-round pick.
All right.
Depending on how well he plays.
See, I agree with you in that, but we're making the prediction right now. You're saying if he has four great preseason games, then maybe somebody will give
Even
something.
Even if he has two great preseason games. If he does
I
well
think
enough
unless
that,
he really likes
Well,
it
here's the problem, nothing. Though. Here's the problem. How's he going to have great preseason games when there's two other quarterbacks now on the roster who need preseason work, one being a rookie who's never played? So Castle's not going to get that whole half of work that he's gotten in the past. So I think that's a negative for him, too.
Yep. He's out.
John in Phoenix says he loves the show. Can't wait for the latest podcast release each week. I have a question on free agent pickups the Pats might be interested in. First, what happened to the tight end out of Maine? You say he went to the Cardinals.
No, we said he went to the Dolphins. But
oh, the Dolphins.
Highsmith
do you listen? Oh, Highsmith went to the Cardinals. Also, what's the latest on Ty Law? Do you think the Pats will have any interest in bringing in Dominic Rhodes or Alexander for depth at running back?
I wouldn't want to touch Dominic Rhodes.
Yeah. Why would you want him? I don't understand.
And you know what? Give up on Ty Law. You know, if he comes, great. Don't worry about him. go
like
with the
Eric's
guys
love
got.
Life. Just give up on it. If you get Ty Law, you get Ty Law.
No,
if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Ty Law is not a future guy. Ty Law, you know, I'd rather see these young guys that they just drafted maybe pan into something than to have to try to bring back the glory days of Ty Law. The hell with Ty Law. If he comes back, he comes back.
What?
Every
wow. crawled up your ass and died.
Every show, we've got five people. Oh, what about Ty Law? Who cares about Ty Law?
People want to know.
He's old.
Well,
he doesn't matter
here's
anymore.
The Patriot way. They sign a veteran who comes
and here's the thing. You know how they're competing? You know how all those guys are competing for the starting job? That's over if Ty Law gets right. here. He has the starting job. So
you're not okay with Ty Law playing for a year?
If he comes, great.
The hell with him.
But if not, fine, too. I don't really care either way about Ty Law. I think he's just going to clutter things up. We've got enough young guys. We signed 8 million of these so-so free agents.
And
let's
none of
give
them
a chance.
I wish Paul was here right now, because Paul, I just don't have the, I don't like to argue as much as Paul. Paul would be going crazy right now.
The things he picks to have passion about, like, this is his bad.
By week, and, yeah. by week and week three.
Now all of a sudden, just give up on Ty Law.
The hell with all you.
Yemi from Texas says about the Peyton Manning video, he's an ass. And he also wants to know, why is Eric not on the opening credits, Gary?
Because that would require Gary to actually do some work.
Whoa! Here we go.
Uh-oh. Because
we had Eric quitting by January 1.
Bingo.
Wow.
I saw the quick head turn, the spit into the – he had to spit his tobacco in there.
Wow, that's something.
Because once you're on John Rook's show, you won't be needed here.
Oh, now it's getting personal. Kind of true, though.
That he doesn't do any work?
No, I like Gary. He's done a fine job. We've had lunch every Tuesday and Thursday for a month and a half.
Yeah, you complain about it 2 minutes Gary, before he gets here all the time, saying, Gary,
don't
how did he
believe
screw
his
that
crap?
Up?
Gary, you're doing a fine job. How's that over 40 baseball going? What's your average?
500.
You only went up twice?
I got to walk in there three times. One game.
Kamani wants to know, Eric, what you did this weekend.
All right. Come on.
Oh, that was a good one. Come on. That one was funny. You got to get – I mean, it wasn't gay. That was a good one. That took
yeah.
some thought.
By the way, Kamani wrote in like 8 million times begging me to ask Lori out. And he kept saying, oh, how come you're not responding to my emails? Lori's engaged. First of all,
I could always eat your salad.
That's
she
true.
Wants to eat your salad.
That's true, but she's engaged.
So,
well, she does live. She actually,
Andy doesn't care. Yeah,
no, that
was a perfect response
him.
By
know,
Andy. So,
when there's something though in life that you really want, you don't let anything stand in your way.
I can't think of a worse mismatch than Lori and Eric. Here we have Mr. Intellectual, and I'll let the second part of that go. Use your imagination.
You want to eat my salad? I could walk to her house, though. She's only like 5 minutes away.
Is that right?
Yeah, we live in the same
and you have many a night.
I know, so now you're stalking
with,
her?
With binoculars.
Oh, Frank. No. Come on.
Doubtful.
She have a brother?
Oh.
Do some work back there.
Well done, Gary.
We're moving on from those jokes.
We are?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah, come on. Seriously, it's old and it's not funny anymore.
I don't
You've
do
been
it.
Telling Gary to do something back there for an hour now. Those aren't funny either.
An hour?
Yeah.
I love how he hyperbolizes it.
Rob, what?
Hyperbolizes
Robin Indy writes it again and goes, sorry about that last email, but after listening, it looks like Polian and the Colts outdrafted and out-recruited the Patriots this year. We drafted more athleticism and speed to add on to the athleticism and speed we already have, not to mention the quality athletes we have coming in with the undrafted free agent class. I'm a little discouraged by your picks.
Jamie Silva?
Hope it doesn't affect our rivalry. Mayo and Crable are good picks, but the rest of your draft picks suck. What happened? Did the whole organization just lose interest? You guys need to get on the ball because I don't want to stop hating you because you suck.
Wait, now is this Rob, the Colts fan?
Yeah.
This is the guy I asked the question to, and he didn't answer it. Now, Rob, I'm sure you're all worried about marrying your sister or whatever it is you do there in Indianapolis. But I asked you a direct question, a real question, why did the Colts draft all those centers, and you email back in and you don't answer the question?
Right.
You got 15 minutes, Rob. Let's go.
Why did the Colts draft three centers?
That's odd for any team. I mean, when you have a draft and you see three centers there,
can
like
you
I
imagine
said,
the bitching that would be going on here. What is Bill doing drafting three centers?
Well, we do that with tight ends every year.
But he's talking about how they had a great draft. You can say, well, we had a great draft. Well, explain it to me. Why did they draft the three centers? I asked you a question.
I want to see.
Who did they draft?
They drafted Mike Pollock, I think.
No, who
from
was
Arizona State?
Yeah, they drafted the one center, linebacker we liked. Hey, Gary, can you print out the Colts draft for us? They had a couple. Oh, Mike Hart.
Oh, yeah.
That we liked in the sixth round.
Any
as a backup.
Running back will succeed there. Just ask Joe.
Especially him, though, because he's a space guy. You know, like good. We said during, on draft day, Andy, if he went to Chicago or Minnesota where they bunch everything in and line, he's not going to succeed there. But there he's got a shot.
Maybe they drafted all those centers so that Jeff Saturday could have more support yelling at Peyton Manning about what plays to call.
Maybe. Or maybe Jeff Saturday's gone.
Gary's doing something. He's pressing the head button.
Steven Westford says, great, great job Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully you're not too worn out. Eric really sacked up and took about 3 minutes of the 6 hours to speak. Way to show up, Leg. During the draft, does any site summarize draft day trade details? Don't get mad, Tom. I asked this on the blog, and you referred me to ESPN and NFL.com. Both of these had pick trackers, but neither seemed to have the full details when one team would trade picks with another.
Oh, that's where we go.
They
so.
Both had trade trackers. I believe they call them trade trackers.
It takes a little while for them to update
them,
though. Yeah,
they're a little slow, and sometimes, like, Stacey James announced one, and the terms weren't even right. So sometimes there's
that's a tricky thing because it takes a while for all the information to get official and get out there to everybody.
And then people get confused because they know half the trade, so they sort of fill that in, but then they don't take off the part that's going to the other team, and you end up with, well, why does this team now have three picks in this round when they should only have one? And it's takes a couple months.
By the way, I was blogging, researching, and going to conference calls. To answer his question.
Okay. Does the NFL require teams to release this information, the trades, or do we only find out because Tom leaves the room to get the details and then farts when he comes back in? That wasn't Tom.
Tom leave the room to get details.
Yeah, but he didn't do the other
Tom
thing.
Tom doesn't fart because nothing comes out of him. He's had 10 bananas a day for the last week.
No, Tom and Paul don't do
it,
that.
Though, Andy.
That's just Andy.
I have a digestive problem.
Yeah, I know, but you can go to the bathroom and do that. You don't have to.
This is my first banana in 3 days.
I had two this morning, two yesterday. And somehow I still cracked my brains out last night.
So Steve says, love the show. You guys are the best. You girls too, Lori and Eric. Oh, that's not good.
Come on. It's funny.
It's getting less funny every day.
Come on.
You're just not having it anymore.
What's wrong? You seem a little down.
Strippers is saying that the Colts are going to move Pollock to right guard, according to theindychannel.com.
Thanks, Strippers. You were quicker than the guy from Indy who actually lives there and reads all about the team. And
Here's Rob in Indy. He says, first of all, that video of Manning was 3 years ago. And drafting three centers concerned me at first, but they were some of the most athletic and intelligent interior linemen in the draft. Saturday's contract is up this year. Justice will play center in a year or two. Pollock will go to guard this year to replace the loss of Jake Scott to the Colts. To Colts South in Tennessee, I guess that's what they call the Titans. Richard is 6'5" and can back up guard, center, and can hopefully eventually develop into a tackle. So they're rebuilding their offensive line.
So they want to get younger and more athletic in the interior
athletic,
of their offensive
smart
line.
Smart linemen is what they drafted.
I was just wondering. I wasn't sure how old they were getting there. So
I just like it that a Colts fan listens to our show.
It's phenomenal.
He wrote in a few weeks ago saying that the Colts have a show and that it's awful because it's all these former players.
It's Tarek
Glenn,
isn't it? Didn't he say it was Tarek Glenn?
He was one of them.
Is it just an online radio show? Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they have it with players?
They have three former players.
They actually have players?
Former players.
That's not bad.
Yeah, there's
and their ears are usually bad.
These were the picks that we kind of – Philip Wheeler from Georgia Tech, he was a Tampa 2 linebacker, we thought. We didn't agree on the tight end from Kentucky. You hate him.
Oh, Jacob Tammy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like him.
Marcus Howard, we all thought was a great pick for them out of Georgia. Another 4-3 Tampa 2 guy. And then Mike Hart. Those are along with the other.
Yeah, Mike Hart's
three
a good
centers.
Pick for them.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike I'll Hart. Be rooting for him.
Yeah.
I could get a Hart Colts jersey.
We all like the Mike Hart pick. Andy in Narragansett. Overall, I like the draft. Seems like Belichick is planning on spreading the mayo. 1-2-3 Fred gets it. Who's that corner that San Diego took? 1-2-3 Fred gets it again. And Tom, who are the priority free agents that the Pats have gotten?
Well, we already ran that down. I knew a few of them, didn't know. So.
None of them are priority.
Well, check in. We should tease that. We're going to do podcasts on Friday and Saturday, just quick updates, and we'll have that whole list of guys that are here, not just the undrafted free agents, but the tryout guys and the rookies. And we'll actually get a chance to have a first visual impression and talk to some of these guys in the locker room and get a first impression of what we think. And Eric will check out the punter. Yeah. He'll watch him kick, too.
So we'll have the schedule hasn't come out yet, but
Gary liked it.
Rookie mini camp over this weekend. We'll have some live Bill Belichick press conferences.
Then we should all be laughing.
We'll have some features. We'll have some photos. And, of course, we'll have some Patriots Today updates and some podcasts.
Yep.
Some mini camp, special mini camp podcasts.
Yep. Notes, everything you want to learn coming out of this.
So,
and that's one thing I've noticed, Fred, as the dwindling newspaper industry around the country.
I got no desire.
We, Patriots.com and Patriots Football Weekly is becoming more an important source. Because a lot of these other papers aren't sent. There weren't a ton of people covering the draft this weekend, especially day two. So pretty soon it's just going to be us. We will be your one and only honest pipeline to Patriots information.
Imagine if we had sources.
I got no desire to cover
anything. Paul Perillo likes to say.
Well, I like rookie camp.
I'm all footballed out.
I like it. This is where I can go. That's Sean Crable. He's a stiff.
About Eric going off on Ty Law, Todd likes it. He says, way to go, Eric. At least you took a stance. It's your first, so where you showed some balls. I think you should start the first interview with Ty Law with that comment, to hell with Ty Law. That would go over big.
I liked it.
Thanks.
Yeah, it is the first time you've really shown passion about a topic.
About a football topic.
Pretty much a topic.
Yeah?
Okay.
So Kamani says, so what did Eric do over the weekend? He really wants to know.
I already answered the question.
I went to some conference calls. I did research.
Why are you
blogged
like
a couple
that?
Questions.
By the way, every person I hear says that Sam Baker's a pile of trash.
He is a stud. Stud. You heard
that's
it
your,
here
that's
first.
Your Andy Hart's
Pro Bowl left tackle.
Where did that come from?
And his dad, by the way, is commissioner of the Arena
League.
He went
to Atlanta.
Oh.
Which might not be good if he's playing in the Arena League in a couple of years.
Matt from Quincy says, open your ears, Casale. If I liked all the picks, I wouldn't have said maybe Bo Root isn't very good.
Sorry, you didn't like the seventh round pick. What was I thinking?
And you said maybe.
I'm telling you, Bo Root has no chance.
I guarantee he's coaching in 2 years.
Pop Warner?
Oh, total aside here in the last 10 minutes of the show. You know the guy from Oklahoma State, the rant he went on?
Yeah.
Did you see that the guy, the black quarterback from Texas, or from wherever he's from, who he was talking about, the whole controversy?
Yeah, Bobby Reed.
He transferred to another football program because he quit there,
mm-hmm.
and he still thinks it was all fraudulent, that that guy's a piece of crap, a fraud.
The coach?
Because most people, after the whole outcry, said, oh, he's defending his players, I like that. Well, the guy he was supposedly defending says it's BS.
I didn't see where he transferred. I'll have to check that when I go upstairs.
Because he was just going to quit, and some coach said, well, you got a year, let's use it. And I believe it's Division I because he had to apply for a doesn't have to take a year off waiver. He's playing right away.
Hey, who picked up Darius Bowman?
No one that I saw. That's shocking to me. Something must have happened with him. Because you talk about physical skills. He's got physical ability. He's big. He's strong. He jumps up and gets the football. So to have in training camp, at least, you think that...
And he's a guy we had tape on. Usually the guys we have tape on at least get something.
And that's the thing I'll always say is that we don't know everything. You know,
no question. Flags or something.
Yeah, like, you know, I didn't go to the combine, so I didn't know about Allie Highsmith. You guys
were going
to
hear about this for
anything.
Years.
But,
did the linebackers.
But you don't know, like, if some of these guys have more trouble than we know about, if they have a medical problem, if there's, like, he was at the combine, right, Bowman?
I believe so.
He might have bombed every single interview he did, where all 32 team just said, this guy, you know, we don't like him. Kind of like Manningham, where he slipped.
Yeah.
So you never know.
By the way, Fred, you're, guy Jason Shirley's been getting a lot of talk on various national radio programs.
I just think it's so funny. Of all the picks that the Bengals could have made, they picked that guy.
Yep.
I mean, that is something.
Texas Southern.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. But, yeah, they were talking because there were jokes about how they care about character early in the first round, but then they just forget about it. And the other guy is getting a lot of talk, that Jake Aguuma or whatever.
Aguana?
Yeah, the guy from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Who not only has a torn ACL, but has pending DUI charges and all these charges.
Oh, good guy.
But you know who he is? He's the only guy to chase Darren McFadden down from behind.
Yeah,
so,
well, that was before he blew his ACL.
Well, I'm just telling you, that's why some teams see that stuff and say, well, let's take a shot with him.
Generally, if I call a guy to come visit me and he goes, well, first of all, I can't walk, and second of all, I have a court appearance, I don't draft him.
Yeah.
Mike Goodkin wants to share his thoughts on the draft. Mayo, he says, you probably do not remember my dream draft I sent in, but I had the exact trade happening and wanted the Pats to take Mayo. I love him for this team. He played against elite talent and was always around the ball. A much better tackler than Rivers, I thought, and was the difference for me. Wheatley, I come from a Big 12 school and live in another Big 12 town now, so I had some limited exposure to Wheatley.
What are you, the witness protection program?
I like his smarts and his speed. My concern was the injuries and had him rated for the last third-round pick, so a little higher than I thought, but only because of the injury, not because of the play.
Which is what I said. I have concerns about a guy with a one-foot steel pipe in his arm.
With O'Connell, I went crazy when this pick was made. I loved it. I am no Tom Casale draft guru, but I do follow it seriously and had him rated as the third-best QB in this draft. Great value, as I had heard and read that some teams had him rated with a late first-round grade.
I'll tell you one thing you do as well as Tom Casale, pat yourself on the back.
Mayock, Casale, and this guy.
Will Hyde, I honestly do not know much about him. This one I cannot give much of a grade on. That never stopped Tom, though.
Slater, stop on a few minutes ago.
Slater, I may be one of the few people who really like this pick. I got a tip about this guy about a month ago from a friend of mine who goes to UCLA. I had him on my big board. He's got a big board in the six, so it's still a reach, but a guy I like. Think about what Hester brings to Chicago on kickoffs, and this is
not
what Slater definitely can do. Many people think he's a guy who has no position. I think the Patriots know exactly where he can contribute and make this team as a guy who's going to make tackles on kickoffs and be a very exciting and productive kickoff guy to get rid of Andrews. And finally, six with Rude, who reminds me of Dan Connor, to be honest. Tackling machine that may not be real fast or huge, but loves the game, really smart, more productive than his overall talent would indicate. Classic overachiever that might be hard to cut because he will do anything to get on the field.
He's not hard to cut.
Yeah. Problem is, he was a classic overachiever in college. Those guys kind of peter out.
Exactly. The thing that in the days leading up to the draft that I really started thinking about Rivers that kind of got me off him was the whole, if Maualuga and Cushing had come out, he would have gone like 29th,
right,
because he would have been the third quarterback out of his own school. And then when you start thinking of it that way, is he worth the seventh pick in the draft? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just, that was the one thing where I said, when I kind of watched USC play, I always heard the other two, and sometimes I would hear, I mean, you always heard Ellis, Lawrence Jackson was a guy, but and Rivers, the name thing, you never kind of heard him. And that kind of leading up got me off him a little bit. But of course, Gerken, he knew everything about all these guys. Where's that big board? Gerken, explain the big board. Is it a real board?
Because
I'm dying to know.
It's got to be pretty big if you had Matthew Slater on it.
Well, right now in his house, his mother's going, take down that thing from the wall!
Christ's sakes!
Marcus from Canada says, take a risk on Tommy Blake, defensive end, TCU. He's got the same or better measurables as Chris Long. He slid out of the entire draft due to a depression diagnosis and sporadic senior season. With a solid locker room and top medical staff, wouldn't this be a great free agent signing for the Patriots pass?
Something's up with him. Something's up with him because another team didn't sign him. They did a try. It's a tryout thing. And this is a guy they were talking about going in the first two rounds of the draft at the beginning of the season. And now not only did he not get drafted, nobody even signed him as an undrafted free agent. It's a tryout.
This sounds like the guy's name is escaping
Underwood?
Me. Yes.
Demetrius Underwood.
Yes.
When he was walking around naked with a shotgun.
Yeah. Right. Is it similar kind of thing?
Yes. It's because I'll tell you right now, this guy can play football a little bit, and there's just no way he would not be drafted and then not be picked up as an undrafted. So there's got to be something going on with that sickness that's bigger than we know.
All right. So finally, Strippers wants to know, now that the draft is over, are we going to go back to once a week on Wednesdays? So what do you think, guys? What should we do?
We
got lunch booked for the next 2 weeks.
All right, twice a week it is.
Okay. As long as we keep getting lunches, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we'll keep going Tuesdays and Thursdays.
And Strippers, we only got one thing to say to you. Sweet.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. We will be back on Thursday at 12 o'clock. Rookies are coming in. We'll talk to you then.